सुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य स्तोत्र सद श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी हराशील प्रभुपाद की जय। मिथिला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य स्तोत्र सद श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराशील प्रभुपाद की आनंद गुड़ी वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की वैम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविंद श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनामाई की तुलसीदेवी की भक्तिदेवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस शिष्य श्री गुरु एंड श्री गुरुरंग ऑल ग्लोरियस शिष्य प्रभुपाद नमामि श्रीपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय बुद्धलेशमिति भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे नमशेषून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 ओम अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टां स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदान् सहगणललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे नमाम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तसिद्धांत सरस्वती नामिने श्रीवर्षभानविदेवी दैदाया कृपाब्दये कृष्णसंबंध विज्ञानं दायिने प्रभवे नमः माधुर्योज्ज्वल प्रेमाद्या श्रीरूपानुगभक्तिदा श्रीगौरकरुणाशक्ति विग्रहाय नमोस्तुते नमस्ते गौरवाणी श्रीमूर्तये दीनधारिणे रूपानुग विरुद्धा वा सिद्धांतध्वंदहारिणे नमो गौरकिशोराय साक्षाद् वैराग्यमूर्तये विप्रलंबर सांबोधे पदांबुजायते नमः नमो भक्ति विनोदाय सचिदानंद नामिने गौरशक्ति स्वरूपाय रूपनुगवरायते गौरावर्भवभूमे स्वं निर्देष्टा सज्जन प्रिया वैष्णवा सर्वभौम श्री जगन्नाथाय नमः वांछकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां भावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः पंचतत्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशात्विकं हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगल्पदे गोपेश गोपिका कांदा राधा कांद नमोस्तुते तप्तां सुरदो भांगोर मम मंदमदेर्गति मत्सर्वस्वदाम्भोजौ राधा मदन मोहनौ दिव्य वृंदारण्य कल्पद्रुमादौ श्रीमंद्रत्नाकर सिंहासनस्थौ श्रीमंद्राधा शैल गोविंद देवो प्रेष्ठालिभिः सेव्यमानौ स्मरामि श्रीमन्द्रासरसारम्भी वंशी वटतटस्थित कर्षन् वेणुस्वनेर्गोपेर्गोपिनाथा श्रीयेस्तु न तप्तकाञ्चनगौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुदी देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। So, in the Bhakti Yogam chapter, what we were discussing last Saturday was that important verse, Klesho Adhigadharas Tesham, that is verse number 5. Yes, Krishna is saying, Klesho Adhigadharas Tesham Avyakta Sakta Chetasam Avyakta Hi Gadir Dukham Dehavad Bir Avapyade. Is it not? Yeah. So, this verse, we talked about it last time also, that Krishna is saying that for those who are in the bodily concept of life, for them, Krishna is saying that directly to go into the understanding of the soul is difficult, particularly for most of us who are involved in the vyavaharam in this world, and also identification with the body, both bodily identity as well as vyavaharam in this world, two things. Krishna is saying klesho adhikadharastesham, it will be very difficult for them because our attention is in the world, it hasn't gone in. That is a problem. That we haven't cultivated that maturity or whatever we say, that how to take the attention inwards. That hasn't happened. There, first thing, bodily identity. That's the first problem. Secondly, vyavaharam in this world. Two things. Both are difficult for someone who has to understand the soul. So, Atma Vijaram. Tattva Vijaram, there's a different words they use in the Shastram to discuss about the soul, to reflect on the spiritual understanding of life. So, Klesho Adhikadharastesham, he says here, it will be very difficult, it will be difficult for them to do it, Krishna is saying. Avyakta Asakta Chetasam, that's what you're doing. And it is then that we mentioned that for them, Krishna has spoken what is called Bhagavata Dharmam. That's what Srimad Bhagavatam is all about, isn't it? Bhagavad Dharma was spoken for this purpose. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will also see that Atma Vijayaram process of the, it is not only Bhagavad Dharma in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam has brought Upanishad's knowledge also in the Ekadasha Skandam to a large extent about the understanding of the soul through the process of hearing, reflect, shravanam, mananam, and nididhyasanam, the three things. Hearing and reflection on that, and able to focus on the truth and able to hold on to it without any interruptions. So, Bhagavad Dharma comes to people that that they have attachment to the world, and at the same time they have some desires inside. It has not gone away completely. Vasanas have not left them. So many vasanas still left behind inside. And at the same time, there is a little interest in the absolute reality also. That means there is some interest has developed in a person for self-realization. And at the same time, he is in a difficult state because vasanas have not left him and he has some identification with the body. You will see personalities in different levels in the Bhagavatam also, isn't it? All of them in different levels of spiritual understanding. So you can, that is what Krishna is saying here, that when it is like that, then Bhagavata Dharma will help those people who are in that state. Because Krishna says that you don't have to leave everything and run away, but little by little in this process bring the chanting the holy name into it and make it that always to keep that attention on the self-realization as the goal. That Krishna is a goal, in other words. Krishna is a goal, or self-realization is a soul. To keep that goal always focused in life, every moment in life, and to engage in the viharam in this world, whatever has to be done, but at the same time to chant the holy name, to remember Krishna in that way. So instead of depending on in the alpavijaram process, you are completely dependent on your own strength, isn't it? Totally dependent on your own strength. How much you can, how strong you are, how much shraddha you have, all these things are important. But once you come to Bhagavata Dharmam, it's not that what matters, it is surrender that matters, and completely depending on Krishna's mercy. Depending on Krishna's mercy. That itself is a big thing. How to depend on Krishna's mercy, isn't it? So, if you done like that, Krishna says here that when Krishna's mercy starts flowing, it will pull the person strongly towards Krishna, and all the other things will automatically be adjusted. Which, for example, like the vasanas in a person. These things are there in other chapters also spoken in a different way. But Krishna is saying here that at some point one will come to understand that this vyavaharam in the world is also not real. What happens to us is, most of the instances is, that although we hear all this from the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, when something goes wrong in the vyavaharam, we immediately get disturbed over it because we start thinking that this vyavaharam is all real. We give an identity to that, a positive way, thinking that it's all real. If I don't do it, what's going to happen? But to understand this, when Krishna is saying to us, vyavaharam is not real. Vyavaharam is not real. Vyavaharam will leave one day. Therefore, it's not real. But temporarily, in certain situations, vyavaharam will drive us back into that consciousness again. That's why. But, so, who wants to leave the vyavaharam? That's the question, isn't it? Who wants to leave the vyavaharam? Actually, our false ego wants to leave the vyavaharam. Vyavaharam comes from false ego. It's false ego who is doing the vyavaharam in this world. We don't do vyavaharam actually. The false ego does all the vyavaharam in this world. So because it is like that, but when it comes to leaving vyavaharam, it is not possible because the false ego won't allow that. So it will struggle. It will struggle very much. So only when we fall into Krishna's world, or attraction to Krishna somehow happens inside us, in that case the vyavaharam will leave us on its own. There is no other way we can leave this vyavaharam. Vyavaharam, if you want to forcefully try to leave it, it won't happen. Because false ego is such a false thing, it will come back and bring the vyavaharam in another form. And we start getting more confused and thinking that how to deal with this situation. One situation has gone, another more complex situation has landed now. So therefore, the only escape route is, till we get attracted by Krishna so strongly, then vyavaharam will leave us. Not we leave vyavaharam. Vyavaharam will leave us in its own natural way. That is the process. And that's what has happened to all the great devotees, jnanis, everybody. That's the only way they have left it. Otherwise, it won't happen. So, just like they give the example that a room which is in darkness for hundreds of years, suddenly if you bring a lamp, the darkness is gone in 1 second. It goes away, isn't it? In the same way, till we get to this strong conviction inside,
that I have to turn my senses inwards, attention inwards, and also to keep my, I have to deal with this world in an equal way with all the living entities, without creating any enmity, without creating any vairabuddhi. Vairabuddhi means a kind of revengeful nature towards anybody. And seeing that all living entities are Krishna's presence in them, in order to do that, if you try, it may not happen easily. On the other hand, Krishna, who is the Antaryami inside, who is present inside as the Antaryami, if he starts becoming serious inside, this Antaryami principle, we have talked many times before, it is in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad also, and in every other Upanishads also talks about this Antaryami principle. How does Antaryami operate? We'll discuss that in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna discusses Antaryami very much in depth. There, the Antaryami principle. So, unless this Antaryami from inside give you the strength to do it, it won't happen. Antaryami is the force behind it. For example, all kinds of emotions in us, anger, hate, and love, and envy, who sends this from inside? It's Antaryami behind it. It's not happening otherwise. Antaryami principle is like that. Antaryami is the persona. Antaryami, Krishna's presence inside is Antaryami. Antaryami does all these things. And there are many other things also Antaryami does. That we'll discuss when we discuss 10th chapter. So, very difficult to say when Vairagyam will come from all this. Renunciation will come from all this. Only when Krishna's mercy comes. That Krishna's mercy means Antaryami's mercy from inside. He is sitting there and he is controlling everything. Antaryami, when he is controlling all of us, he is called Ishwara. Isn't it? Ishwara Sarvabhudanam Hrideshe Hrideshe Arjuna Tishtati. You will see this in the Bhagavad Gita many, many places. Antaryami principle operating. Sarvasya Chaham Hridisanni Vishto Matas Pradirjnanam Apohanam Cham. Krishna is saying that in everyone else, Sarvasya cha aham, that aham inside, Hridi Sannivishto, in everyone's heart, when I am there, Matta Smriti Jnanam Abohanam, knowledge, forgetfulness and memory. Who is doing this? Antaryami is doing that. If Antaryami decides that you should remember something, you will remember. If Antaryami decides you should forget something, you will forget it. Mattam Smriti Jnanam. And all the knowledge also, realization also is like that. Antaryami controls from inside. Abohanam cha. So that verse you can see. And there are other places also in the Bhagavad Gita you will see the same thing. So when this Kripa, Krishna's mercy, which is from Antaryami, it comes, then Vairagyam will happen to any person. Any person, Vairagyam will come. Because if you see the Srimad Bhagavatam, how it begins, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Jayatahai Tugam. In the second chapter, you will see in the first canto. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojidaha. When Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti develops in a person, just like Krishna explains in this 12th chapter, what will happen? Janayati Ashu Vairagyam. Vairagyam will develop in that person. That is an immediate effect of the Bhakti. And jnanam, and knowledge also. Yadahaidugam. That must happen. That is the principle. Bhakti is always with this jnanavairagyam. They are together with bhakti. So, that is why Krishna mentions here. So, avyaktahi yasmad ya gadihi aksharalpiya dukham sa dehavadbi dehabhimanavadbi avapyade atha klesha adhigataraha akshara upasakanam yad vartanam tad uparishtad vakshyamaha. So on that verse, klesho adhigatarastesham mentions here that those who think that Brahmam is avyaktam, isn't it? Those who say that and who feels that Brahmam cannot be realized, avyaktam, klesho adhigatarastesham, avyakta asakta chedasam, avyaktam. Avyaktam means unmanifested, which is not, which is bit abstract for us, isn't it? Because of our bodily identification. This bodily identification is a very interesting thing. Once we get absorbed in the body, then we can only relate with others in terms of the body, is it not? So you'll see everything in this world is under a title of name and form. Some name and form has to be there to relate with that. So similarly, those who identify with the body as the self, they will have, there is Dehabhimanam. Dehavadbir avapyade, Krishna says. Dehavadbir means this identification with the body. For them, Krishna is saying it's difficult. Klesho adhikatarastesham avyaktasakta chedasam. So, yadyabi mal karmadi paranam kleshaha adhika evaha. Klesha adhikataradu aksharalpanam paramartha darshinam dehabhimana parityaga namitaha. Because dehabhimanam or identification with the body is a limitation on us. It's a limitation on us. And therefore, it is difficult in that limited state to understand the unmanifested form of Krishna, Brahman. As it is mentioned, it is very difficult, it says. So, Vairagyam, talking back about Vairagyam. Not long ago, about 50, 60 years ago, when business has developed in a different way. Like we have big supermarkets now everywhere, it's springing up, isn't it? Supermarkets. But 50, 60 years ago, supermarkets were not that popular. There were big grocers who did wholesale business and then smaller retail outlets like that. But now you see the change, how it happened was that when it turned into the modern style of running it as a big business, like Sainsbury's, Tesco and all that, who have grown up in the last many 50, 60 years in a big way. But prior to that, the system was, as you know, that there were big grocers who sold on a wholesale and on a retail business, isn't it? They both were existing. So there was many business families who took, who managed this kind of business in a big scale. But there were not many, many shops like we have today. They had only one shop, but they'll be in a big scale, they did that. So what has happened was, in a one big town like this, there was a grocer who had a big grocery shop, and they did a lot of business from that shop. They belonged to a business family who did this business for generation after generation. They kept on doing this business. They made money also, and they lived well like that. So in that family, because they were such people that they were by nature, they were business people. At the same time, they donated a lot of money to the temples and ashrams and all that. That was just the way they were, that which you will see in the old business families like that. They were support all the, in different states, if you look, you will see that they will support the all good causes like temples, ashrams, everything they'll support. And they will also run the business and make a lot of money from the business. So that's the way it was. So, and so, that is just the way they lived. So it so happened in that family, a person was born, and he, in the early days itself, he got into the business with the parents. And what happened was that the later on, something happened to him in his business life. He lost interest in the business. In the sense, there were so many great devotees. If you look, you will see the same thing. Purandara Das, if you heard about him, you will see. He was a gold merchant. And he became such a big devotee later, threw away everything, walked out from there. This is one instance in Karnataka. I think Purandara Das lived in Karnataka. He did the same thing. Threw away everything and walked out from the business. Patanathari is another story. Big crores and crores of rupees of business they were doing. But when Vairagyam came, threw away everything and walked out from the business completely. So this young man who was in this business family, he got married and he was about 25 or 28, something like that in that age. And a marriage was done in a very opulent level, because there were another business family from a girl whom he knew before, and marriage was arranged and everything was done in a very opulent way. But after the marriage, he changed himself. The seriousness in business has gone away. More, he was interested in living a life together with the wife and the husband together and wanted to travel together. So they did that. They had a lot of attachment to each other, and both of them made the decision that let the shop run on its own. It keeps managing. They could get people to do the job. Let us carry on traveling and visiting places, different places, and enjoying life in a different way, like many people do these days, isn't it? So that got into their mind very much. So they went to many, many places, and at the same time, it was not properly a spiritual journey in that sense, just sightseeing, suppose like tourist-like thing, going around places all over. So, and when this change happened in him, his parents noticed that he is not taking much interest in the business, and business families are very alert about that if they don't give enough attention, they get very concerned about it. So they spoke to him about it and told him that he is not doing the right thing, and inducing him more to take interest in the business. In business families, it is like that, isn't it? So, but he had no interest in the business. Somehow the other resignation has gone away. So one day it developed into a serious argument between the father and the son. This all happens everywhere. It's not that everywhere it's wonderful. All families are running very smooth and happy. Everything is happening. In every business families, in every family, these kind of problems do happen. So it so happened that the father called the son, and it developed into a serious argument. And he told the son that this is not acceptable, that the ways must change. He told him that. So out of pressure from the father, he didn't want to break away with him, so he went to the shop and put a nice chair there and sat in the chair just to show his presence there. And he was observing people who were coming to the shop. He had no interest. Money was coming freely. Business, others were doing the work, and everything was happening like that. You can see in them days, because business was very much centered around the family. Nowadays it's different, isn't it? You get some MBAs from Harvard and send them as managers, and you sit tight at home and you can run the business. It's a different kind of way. But then days there was no MBA. Everything was family oriented very much. They managed the business in that way. So it so happened that somebody came to buy something from the shop at that time. One man came to buy something from the shop. And I think it was jaggery he bought. He bought some jaggery. It was packaged and given it to him. The customer took the jaggery and went home. What is the English word for jaggery? I don't know what it is. Jaggery means, you know what it is. That is English word, yeah? Yeah, okay. Go. Yes, exactly. Go, yeah. So, jaggery is English word, yeah? Okay. So jaggery, he bought it home, this person. And then he opened the packet and he looked at it, the customer, and he thought that the quality is not good enough. Because jaggery also, you get a variety of, a range of purified to the unrefined ones like that. So he took it home and he looked at it and he didn't like it. So he brought it back to the shop. So this young man was sitting in the shop. So he told this young man, he knew that he's the shop owner, that, look, I don't like this jaggery, I'm giving it back to you, he said. He said, fine, no problem. He took the jaggery back and paid him the money back, and he left. The customer left. So what he did when the customer came back with the jaggery back, he opened up and looked everything, and then he found that it wasn't a very good quality. So he packaged everything in another wrapper and brought it back to the shop in his own way. He packed it and brought it back to the shop. So when he brought it back, they opened the paper back and put the jaggery back into this bag where it was stored. And that paper was lying there. The paper what he brought, it was lying there. And somehow a wind blew and the paper came up to him closely. He took out the paper and started looking at it. So in a look at that, in that paper, he was reading about Tukaram written in that paper. About Tukaram, it was something written about in the paper. And what was written there was that Tukaram has spoken some in one of his abhangs that if you chant the name of Krishna 13 lakhs, that means 1.3 million times, Rama, Krishna, Hari. If you chant that, Panduranga, Krishna will appear in front of you. He has put one of the songs like that, and that was there in that paper. So, he read this and he started thinking, how is this possible? It's just giving you such a clear instruction there, like this. He was impressed by that, and it was getting dark by then, the evening. And he thought that this whole business life is monotonous. It's not giving me any pleasure. And what do I do here like this? I must leave home. He thought like that. And they sold oil also in the shop. Various kinds of oil. Gingerly oil, coconut oil, groundnut oil. Various oils they sell in the shops those days, isn't it? They'll have huge tins of oil. And people come and buy. Nowadays it's all so packaged, you don't know which oil, what oil. Whatever you get, you buy it, isn't it? And people don't use oil so much like them days now. It's all cream now. So many creams we have developed, isn't it? So another industry is right running side by side. But people live more natural that way. Various oils they purchase from the shops, either for cooking. Even then it was not a refined kind of oil. Nowadays all sorts of oils you find in the shops, isn't it? Anyway. So what he did was, he got so fed up, he poured all the oil on everything on the shop and set fire to it, the whole shop, and walked out from there, and walked out from the shop. Why? Why did that happen? Because in his mind, when this vairagyam comes, you can never say that in life. When that happens, such things can happen in life. To completely finish with this world, nothing is here for me, he thought. In this world for me to enjoy. So, but how this vairagyam has come? He wrote a letter and left it for his wife and he went to somewhere in the Himalayas. He spent years and years in the Himalayas. And later on we hear about him that his wife also got attracted to the same and she also got initiated and gone into that process later, which we don't know much about her. But this person, he left all the business, everything, walked out from the shop, had enough, and taken to spiritual life so seriously. So, in situations like that, when that happens, it is Krishna's mercy that comes in a very strong current, strong wave, like a wave it comes and takes over everything. The person's life, it takes over. That's how it happens. In many, many devotees' case, if you look, this is how it has happened. They did not go like a structured way. It didn't happen in a structured way. It all happens like this. That is what Krishna is talking about, that Kripa Siddhi. Kripa is like that. Instead of from our side anything happening, it happens from Krishna's side. It happens from Krishna's side. Because what Krishna is saying here is that how that will happen is difficult to say, but how these things will happen in life, this wheel will turn, it's very difficult to say in life, isn't it? Because if you are depending and executing sadhana, depending on Krishna's mercy, that is the most important thing. You will see in the Bhagavad Gita in many places, this point stressed. Simply not depending on your own ego, ahankaram and executing sadhana, and depending on Krishna and executing sadhana, they are two different things. When you do things that, I have chanted my 16 rounds or 64 rounds or whatever, thinking that ahankaram is doing that, Krishna is not very pleased about that. Executing sadhana, depending on Krishna. Depending on Krishna and executing sadhana, they are two different things. So, if it happens like that, it is a lot easier. Because whether you follow the personal process or impersonal process, doesn't matter which one it is. They call in Shastram as Sagunam and Nirgunam. Whether it's Sagunam or Nirgunam, it doesn't matter. If it is dependent on your cleverness and smartness and all that, it will not work. It will not work. So, you can say all these things. You may say, personal worship is easier than the impersonal worship. But as long as it is based on ego, on the Ahankaram inside, neither personal worship nor impersonal worship is easy. It is, you can compare things and say, okay, as a personal form, you may like it. You may like to follow up that process, personal worship of Krishna. But if Ahankaram is doing that, personal worship is also not easy. Worship is also not easy. So that is how difficult it is to get rid of this ego from inside. It will not easily go away. So, just like if personalism, okay, let's book it like this. I'm not arguing against one against the other. I'm trying to make it clear that how both the processes are working. If personalism and chanting the holy name is everything as people advertise, so it's so easy. It's so easy, we say to everyone. If it is so easy, if I look outside, there should be full of liberated souls walking around, which I don't see. Is it not? If it is so easy, as we say about it sometimes, that chanting is such an easy process, and personal form, a devotee, it's so easy, everything is so easy. We make it easy by presenting it like that. But practically you can see that as long as this false ego inside is operating, no process is easy. Every process is difficult. That is why when we say chanting the holy name also, it has to be qualified with the Shikshashtakam. Shikshashtakam is telling us that, isn't it? Mahaprabhu mentioned this Shikshashtakam to convince us that when he says there that if you look into the verses in the Shikshashtakam, you will find he mentions that the Mathanam Majanam Nasundarim, there is also Trinadabhi Shunichena Tarorabhi Sahishtuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. What does it mean? No false ego. That's what it means, isn't it? But it is spoken in a very nice way. Then Trinadabhi Shunichena Tarorabhi Sahishtuna Amanina Manadena. That Amanitvam, Amanina Manadena. Amanitvam is that freedom from false ego. And the false ego is there in everything what we do. There is nothing in this world where false ego doesn't have any role to play. So, similarly, he mentions many things after that also. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that Ashlishyava Padaradam Pinashtumam Adarshanam Marmahadam Harodhuva. That even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or makes me broken-hearted by not being present before me. What does it mean? It means that it's not that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, oh, Krishna is not present in front of me, I'm broken hearted. What he's saying is that Adarshanam Marmahadam, literally if you take it, that is the meaning. Adarshanam Marmahadam Karyodhuva means if Krishna is not present in front of me, I get broken hearted. But deeper level, if you look at that, the verse is telling us that as long as this false ego is inside me, I will never be able to see Krishna. This is the reality behind it. So getting rid of this false ego from inside is the most difficult thing, in whether it is in the personal form or the impersonal form of worship. So that is why if somebody asks this, that how do we depend on Krishna's kripa, Bhagavad kripa, Krishna's kripa. So in spiritual life, it is impossible to give a clear definition to this thing called kripa. What they call it as, it's a pradivasam. It's a pradivasam. Pradivasam means something which happens, but you don't know why it happens and when it will happen. You can't clearly define this thing called kripa. So, just like to understand this kripa, when we study Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, when we start understanding in a deeper level Bhagavad Gita and realizing it, it becomes practical in our own life, we start accepting that, in other words, what Krishna has spoken, and we see the truth in that words, Krishna's words, and start enjoying that statement from Krishna in various places in the Bhagavad Gita. At that time, that means you realizing the tattvam behind it, and that is in the experience. And who does that? That is the Kripa. That is Krishna's Kripa. So that Kripa which comes from the... that Kripa actually is the same thing as what we call as Ishvara. Ishvara, what we call, is that Kripa. And, or sometimes we say, it is the energy of the soul. Energy of the soul. So, in Vedantam, it will be spoken in one way. In the Vaishnava literature, it will be spoken in another way. In Shaiva Siddhantam, it will be spoken in another way. But substance is the same. It's not different. That mercy or Kripa which comes from the Antaryami inside, we will call it as Ishvara in one time, we'll call it as Bhagavan in another way, and we'll give name to it as Shiva or Vishnu or Krishna, whichever way we want to address it according to our liking for that, the names we have given later. But that force, power which flows from the Antaryami to us and which makes things happen in us is the same force. Whether it is through the Shaiva Siddhantam or Vaishnava Siddhantam or Vedantam, wherever it is. So, so that Kripa is what is here, is spread all over, everywhere. Because you can see there in that verse, if you look into that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see there, Klesho Adhikatarastesham Avyakta Asakta Chedasam Avyaktahi Gadir Dukham Dehavadvair Avapyate. Isn't it? That is the word we are discussing. And prior to that, you will see in another words, Yetu Aksharam Anirdesham. That is the third verse. Krishna used the word instead of the word Kripa. Krishna puts the word there, Sarvatragam. Sarvatragama chindyamcha kodastam achalam dhruvam. That sarvatragam refers to that Kripa. Krishna's Kripa. Krishna's mercy. That is what it is flowing through that. So, sarvatragam, it is all pervading. Krishna is saying, sarvatragama chindyamcha kodastam achalam dhruvam. He says. So, so, if we are not dependent on that Kripa, on the mercy of Krishna, and if you are in, who is in the platform of the, or the bodily identity, who is in the conception of the body, Krishna is saying, Klesho Adhikatarastesham Avyakta Asakta Chedasam. For him, it is very, very difficult. For him, it is very, very difficult. because Chedasa means our mind. Chedasa is the mind. Asakti means getting attached. When the mind gets attached to that avyaktam, unmanifested forms, unmanifested form, there's nothing going to happen. Nothing is going to happen. So, that is where that difficulty is. In other words, we getting attached to that aspect is very difficult thing. But that Atma, the soul, that is where, in different ways it's spoken, that's all. When Avyakta Asakta Chetasa means, if the Chetasa, Chetasa means the mind, Asakti means getting attached to Avyaktam. Avyaktam means the unmanifested, impersonal Brahman. You can call in different names, Brahman in other words. Nothing will happen. Why? Even in that case, if the Brahman takes control of us, it will happen. On our own, if we try to approach Brahman, nothing will happen. Brahman has to show that Kripa towards us. So, that's why it says here, knowing the soul is a very, very difficult thing. Because, but one who is dependent on this mercy of the Antaryami inside, Kripa, which comes from the Antaryami. Antaryami is Brahman. Again, there is no difference. Different names, that's all. So, when the mercy comes from there, that automatically, our surrender will get better. Automatically the surrender will get better. So, one who knows about this mercy, process of mercy or Kripa, and when he realizes very well, it will only happen, my success in spiritual life is only going to happen when the mercy comes from Krishna. One has to be convinced on that. Most of us think now at the moment that we will do a lot of activities and make that progress and make it happen in spiritual life. Isn't it? That's how we operate in the spiritual world, spiritual life. every one of us. And we think like this, that I'm going to do it and I'll make it happen. There is so much confidence in our sadhana, so much faith in our ability in doing things and getting things done, isn't it? Because that's what we have got all life. But when we bring that approach in the spiritual life, it may be a long haul. It may happen one time after doing sadhana for a very long period of time, you will realize my sadhana is not getting me anywhere. A stage can happen like that. And that's when that the ego inside will slowly started breaking up. So, Krishna says here, so even while chanting the holy name, we can't think that I am chanting. That's why, if you remember, there's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Yad Karoshi, Yad Ashnasi, Yad Juhosi, Dadadayad, Yad Tapasyasi, Kaundaya Tal Kurushama Darpanam. That is Krishna's approach. Krishna is giving us some clue how to engage in spiritual life. Yad Karoshi, Yad Ashnasi, Yad Juhosi, Dadadayal, Yad Tapasyasi, Kaundaya Tal Kurushama Darpanam. We'll see where that verse is. Yes, 927. See that verse, what Krishna says? It is in the Raja Vidya chapter, Raja Yogam 27. Yes, 927. Translation I'll read. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering to me. As an offering to me. Now, what does that mean? Offering to me means that to go and tell Krishna, Krishna, I've done all these austerities. Oh, I cook nice prasadam for you. It's not what it means. It means that, because that's how we understand offering, isn't it? I made all this for you. No. Offering means actually the ego inside is the first one Krishna wants us to offer, not the food. Food, Krishna doesn't matter whether you offer or not. Krishna says that I like to eat that ego first before anything else. That's what that verse is telling. Yat karoshi yad asnasi yad juhosi dadasi yad yat tapasyasi gaundeya tal kurushum tal kurushama darpanam. So, offering is that surrender. Offering is that surrender. So that the ego is not there in all spiritual activities also, in sadhana also. So, for example, chanting, deity worship, and studying shastram, meditation, all this. And it's not by doing all that you get Krishna. That's the reason. It's not by doing all these things you get Krishna. Because you can never say, I have worked so hard in spiritual life for so many years and then nothing has happened. You come to that conclusion one day, isn't it? Today's junior devotee becomes tomorrow's senior devotee. Then he becomes a mentor. Then he becomes something else. I don't know, it goes on like this, isn't it? So you start thinking after 30, 40 years, you've gone through all these different titles. And then you're still where you are, where you started the journey. Why is that? It's because of this. That never thought about this, that surrender didn't happen in the life. Therefore that, so main reason is that vastu, what you are searching for, it's already there inside. It's not something that has to come from outside. Isn't it? Krishna is present inside everyone as Antaryami. Throughout Bhagavatam, you will see this statement. Krishna is present there. Arhaye Dhanamana Abhyam Maitreya Abhinna Chakshusham. In the third canto, Kapila Maharshi says to Devahuti. So everywhere, this is the important point, that what has happened is we have got something. Everybody has Krishna with them. We are all carrying Krishna inside. But the ignorance is so strong inside, unable to realize it, unable to realize the truth inside. That is our, therefore, it's already we have got it. It's not something that has to come from outside. Because generally in the material world, we work and we want to get something in return to that, isn't it? We work and we want something in return to get. But here there is nothing to get. It's already got it. Only thing is that ignorance must go from inside ajnanam. In other words, what is called, isn't it? So, Krishna is not a is not an object which you have to get by working. That's the first principle. Krishna is not an object which you have to get by working. It is not meant for an exchange, transaction. Krishna is not meant for transaction. It is there that all our cleverness or our smartness, everything fails at that point. So then how does it happen? How does that happen then? When the soul, when the living entity completely surrenders Sharanagati, or we accept and surrenders to Krishna, at that point realization happened. Realization happened. Patanjali says in the Yoga Sutram, Ishvara Pranidhanat. That is the sutram for that. Ishvara Pranidhanam, surrender. Surrender is the key behind in success in spiritual life. So at that time we say samadhi will happen, Sharanagati. So Sharanagati is a process. Sharanagati is a process. How will that happen? How will Sharanagati happen? When we lose our faith in the strength of our own ego. At the moment, ego is dictating, I can do it. I can get it done. It is so conscious we are about this ego, isn't it? Every moment we do whatever we do, whatever we think about in the future also, and even we think that something we can manage it, we can get it done. And if we also get the same concept in spiritual life, then it will fail. We cannot get it done. That is the difficult part. So that is why only when you lose that faith in the capacity of the false ego, what we have it inside, only then Sharanagati will happen. So in the bhakti process, there is fortunately this big thing called kripa, mercy, there to hold on to. So there Krishna is everything, father, mother, everything in that sense. Many great devotees think that they are just instruments in Krishna's hands. So even they, Yaneshwar and others, they are saying that while they are chanting, the chanting is going on inside, Krishna is doing the chanting from inside. To such an extent, they have surrendered to Krishna. For them, everything Krishna is doing. Nobody else is doing. Krishna is doing everything. So Krishna is chanting, making me to chant, I am chanting. Hari is inside the heart, Krishna is inside the heart. Krishna is creating the Sankirtanam and therefore it is happened. So, if that thing happens, then what is the subtle thinking behind it is a Kartrutvam. Kartrutvam means I am the doer, isn't it? When Kartrutvam goes away, it's called a Kartrutvam. A Kartrutvam. A Kartrutvam means I am the doer is leaving me. Quietly, it is leaving me. In fact, if you look in the Ashtavakra Gita, Ashtavakra Maharshi says this, he puts it, because Ashtavakra Gita, if you read, you will see there, Aham kartedi aham manam maha krishnahi damshida naham kartedi vishwasam amrutam pitva sukhi bhava. Ashtavakra says this. You heard about Ashtavakra Maharshi, haven't you? He had, in the Bhagavatam you will see, is a very famous personality, one of the great sages like Vishwamitra, Vasishta and all that, a very famous sage. The unfortunate thing was his body was very crooked in 8 different places. So that's why he was called Ashtavakra. Vakra means crooked. Ashtavakra means 8 different places. The body was crooked. And once he walked into Janaka's palace, Janaka used to discuss with him about self-realization. King Janaka in Mithila used to discuss with Ashtavakra Maharshi about self-realization. And he was practically, you could see, Janaka took a lot of instructions from Ashtavakra. But unfortunately, there is a whole story behind how he got this body in that way. It's in the, to some extent, mentioned in the Bhagavadam. But in the Puranams, you will see about his life, Ashtavakra's story. So this Ashtavakra Maharshi wrote a song called Ashtavakra Gita. That's a very famous book, Ashtavakra Gita. In that Ashtavakra Gita, he talks about self-realization in a very nice way. Many, many things he opens up in that. The state of a consciousness of a person and what drives him and various things, identifications, what we have with the body, how they are revealed and all kinds of things. So he says there, Aham kartyedi aham manam maha krishnahi damshida. So, at the moment, all of us have been bitten by a snake. Maha krishnahi damshida. Krishnahi means Krishna sarpam, the black snake. We have been bitten by a black snake, krishnahi damshida. And what is that? Aham kartyedi aham manam. I am doing everything and I am everything. I am everything, I am doing everything. And he says here that that is the cause of all our problems in this world. I am the doer and that ego inside us. Aham kartedi aham manam maha krishna hidamshira. It's like a snake bite, he says. The snake, black snake has bitten you and we are poisoned already by that. And that is a poison inside us. And as long as that poison is there, whatever we do in this world will also won't come out in a proper way. It will all has its own problems, it will create more problems. We are biting everything with that poison inside. So naturally whatever we do also will have its drastic effect on that. Naham kartyedi vishwasam amritam pitva sughi bhava. If you perform, do things, naham kartyedi vishwasam, I am not doing everything, and take that nectar inside, he says, and get rid of that poison from inside and be happy in life. I know it's a simple instruction, but it goes away very soon, isn't it? Naham kartedi vishwasam amrdam pitva sughi bhava. Amrdam pitva sughi bhava. So that is from the Ashtavakra Gita. So he says there like this, that naham kartedi vishwasam, so that take this, he says, that I am not the doer, and please come out of that effect of that poison from inside. Many devotees says like this: Krishna is doing everything, I am the machine. Krishna is the operator, I am the machine. I am the yantram, Krishna is the yantri who operates this yantram. So in even including, not only in spiritual life, this is important, but even in the material life means even laugiyam, the transactional world also is an important thing. So, devotees say to Krishna by paying their obeisances to him that it is not in my control, any of the things in spiritual life also. Therefore, if this body, mind, intelligence, everything, I hand them over to you to manage it properly. So that is the important thing in spiritual life, to hand over the mind, intelligence and the body, everything to Krishna. If you hand it over, what will happen? You should not ask that question. That you can't ask that question. But Krishna says that is, you can see the message is the same, spoken in different ways. In the Ekadasha Skandam, Kavi Maharshi says, Kayena vacha manasendriyerva buddhyatmanava prakrite svabhavat karomi yadyat sakalam parasmai narayanayadi samarpayami. So when it comes to that state, body is Krishna's body. Body is Krishna's. I cannot look after this body. I cannot look after this body. So devotee's responsibility is to say to Krishna every moment, wherever the troubles are coming up from the body, even at that time, offering the body to Krishna is the best solution rather than anything else. Although externally we may have to do various things, but things will always go wrong because sitting inside, Antaryami controls how this body should live in this world. It is Antaryami who decides that, how this body should live in this world. Ultimately, that decision is his decision. Medicines, treatment and all other things are only external things. Decision is more important, what Krishna decides. So that is why that's why in the Vishnu Sahasranamam, Bheshajam Bhishak, it says about Krishna. Medicine is Krishna and the physician is also Krishna. Both are Krishna. Bheshajam Bhishak. Bheshajam is the medicine. Bhishak is the physician. So if the decision, the illness is meant to go from the body, the situation will happen in such a way the right medicine will come, the right treatment will happen, and the body will get cured. Because otherwise it is not going to happen, because if Krishna resists from inside, then it's not going to get cured. No matter whatever you do, it will come and give the it, body will have to go through it. It is no other way. So, because looking at our own body, you can see when we eat in the evening, we had a meal and gone to bed. We don't know what's happening with the meal after that, isn't it? Nothing is known to us. So many things are happening in the body unnoticed by us. So, and there is no guarantee that in the morning when you wake up that you'll open your eyes either. There is no guarantee in all these things, isn't it? So similarly, where is the guarantee that the air that is gone in will come out? Simple things like that makes us think about the vulnerability of the body. How vulnerable the whole thing is, isn't it? Vishwase nahi vishwasaha. So, pranam that has gone in, whether it will come out or not, there is no condition like that, isn't it? Once for all, it will be the last one. It could be the last one. The person was gone inside, he may not come back again. That's the end of it. So, it happens many times in many people's life. This has happened, isn't it? So in this way, what they say is that our thoughts has to develop in a, this is called Nishedhalpagam. Nishedhalpagam means denying everything. That means looking at the body and seeing the vulnerability of the body, that this is how much you can depend on this body. In that way, you have to develop the way of thinking. Not think that I've gone to gym, I've done all these things, now it's muscles, all the muscles are built up in the body, it will stay strong, it's guaranteed for another 10 years or something like that. Some developed thought. That is thinking in the wrong way. In spiritual life, we have to think, because only then surrender will happen. Some devotees, they develop their body strongly. They say, we need strength in the body to do the service and all that. But what you are doing actually is, you are increasing your bodily concept of life also in the wrong way by doing that. Body has to be handed over to Krishna. Krishna will decide how that body will run in this world. When illness comes, you have to accept that. That is, prarabdham has come in that form. And if it has to go from the body, if Krishna decides, it will go. If not, it won't go. It will come again. So, so what we do is not important. What we do is not important. What we don't do is important. What we don't do is important. And that is why you see this word tapasya is that. Tapam we say, isn't it? Tapasya is what you can see in the Bhagavadam, many, many great personalities performing austerities, isn't it? Severe austerities. So that denying things, that is the tapasya inside. What are we denying? So first thing is to know what all we can't do in this world. What things? We can't do. If you start thinking about it, you will know what you can't do in this world. Many things you will know you can't do in this world. Because everything is happening is not due to our ability in this world. If you analyze the body like this, you will see. For example, you may ask the question, are you not seeing things? Yes, you are seeing the things. You are seeing the things. You're seeing with the help of the eyes, isn't it? So, but if something happens to the eye, where is the seeing? Power of the seeing has gone. Similarly, every sense in the body, eyes, ears, nose, they are functioning at the moment. We don't know how it is functioning. It is functioning, isn't it? Generally, all the senses are demigods who are present in the senses. When the demigods who are present in each of our senses, when they allow us to function, we are able to operate the senses. Because we are not conscious of that, we take it for granted. All my senses are okay. We think we'll go to a dentist or to the optician. and everything can be fixed. It's not so. It's not that simple like that. The eyes, all our senses are only operating because of the, it is sanctioned by Krishna that it can function, and therefore it's happening. So, so that is why in the practical way of looking at it, is that everything what is happening in the body is only if it is sanctioned by Krishna. That is the way to look at it. Our own, we can't manage it. Yadevi sarvabhudeshu nidra rubena samsthita. There is a series of things in the Devi Bhagavadam, Devi Mahalpam, it says like this. These things are all happening because she is inside operating that, allowing that to happen. Sleep, for example, at a particular time you feel sleepy. We will say, okay, I'm tired, so I'm getting sleep. Not necessarily. There are many people who are tired, but they can't sleep. Is it not? Then they take to other ways of trying to get sleep. Sleeping medicines or tablets or whatever. So, sleep is not in our control. Hunger, for example. When that happens, who is controlling the hunger? When it comes, there is no alternative. Is it not? Something has to be done. You have to eat. There is no other choice. So, therefore, if you look into Devi Mahalpim, you will say like this, one after the other, Yadevi Sarvarubeshu Chudharubena Samsthita, that who is present inside me as hunger, it is her potency who is that doing that at that time. Nidrarubena Samsthita, in the form of sleep, how puts me into sleep at the time, and I cannot fight against that. When she takes control of it, then it's gone. It's finished with that. Isn't it? So, if you go in that way, Nidra Rubena Samsthita, Chudha Rubena Samsthita, Buddhi Rubena Samsthita, that Buddhi inside, to make that decision in a particular way, that is her, another aspect of her. So, if you keep looking at this, it's all the same source where it's coming from. But, what does the false ego does? False ego says to us, I'm eating. And I'm sleeping, I'm seeing, I'm hearing, I'm smelling, I'm touching, and I'm doing the sadhana. That is our ahankaram it is coming from. It's from ahankaram, false ego, all these ideas are coming from. The proper way is that tapasya, once you execute that austerity of denying everything, everything is Krishna is doing it. And the very best example to convince ourselves is to look into our own body and see how things are happening. That will convince us that Krishna is doing everything. Isn't it? Breathing. What control have we got? When you go to sleep, still breathing is going on. So who is doing it? Eating is concerned. Same thing. Chudharyubhena samsthita. That Krishna is controlling. When the hunger comes, Krishna says, bring the food. That's when we say like this, isn't it? Aham Vaishwanaro Bhutva Praninam Dehamashrida. The verse in the Bhagavad Gita. The Vaishwanaran inside is Krishna is inside Vaishwanara and asking for food. He says, bring the food, I want the food now. And you cannot say, no, I have decided not to give you food now. Will you be able to say that to Vaishwanara inside? No, Vaishwanara says, bring me the food now. I need it now. Then you start running all over the world to get the food. Is it not? So, aham vaishwanaro bhutva praninam dehamashrita. If you analyze everything in the body like this, you will see that practically you have no control over everything. Krishna is controlling everything very nicely from inside. Antaryami is controlling everything. Similarly, in all situations, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, the intelligence for doing that. And similarly, many, many other things. There's a whole series of prayers about that. Why those prayers? Because if you keep on analyzing those prayers, you will see, I am not doing anything, Krishna is doing everything. And slowly, that concept should go into sadhana also. It is easy to say in sadhana, I am not chanting, Krishna is chanting. You can say like that, but it is not happening though. Inside me, I am still thinking, I am chanting, I am doing everything, isn't it? So, to remove that false concept inside, that I am chanting, because jiva handa, ahankaram inside is saying this, I am chanting, I am studying, I am doing the deity worship, I am paying my obeisances. No, Krishna is paying the obeisances through this body. Krishna is making me to chant through this tongue. Krishna is forcing me to study, read Bhagavadam. Bhagavadam is Krishna is reading. That's why kasmayena vibhasidoya madhulo jnana pradipa pura tudrubena janaradaya munaye krishnaya tudrubinam. That everything Krishna is doing, Krishna is talking, Krishna is listening. And in that way, you can see there, Krishna spoke, Krishna sitting in Brahma's body heard Bhagavadam. Sitting in Brahma's body, Krishna spoke. Sitting in Narada Maharshi's body, Krishna heard. Sitting in Krishna's Narada Maharshi's body, Krishna spoke. And sitting in Vedavyasa Maharshi's body, Krishna heard. So, in spiritual life, Krishna is doing everything, not we. As long as we are thinking, I am doing, this surrender process is going to be a very, very, very difficult thing. The first to remove that concept from inside, I am doing, has to go. So in order to do that, this sadhana, that is why this sadhana is followed like that. How to think that everything that is happening in the body, Krishna is doing that. There is no other better way of convincing ourselves that, which is the truth also. It is the truth that Krishna is doing everything. And the ample proof is this, that the sleep, the food, the breathing, the blood what is circulating in the body, Pancha Prana and all that, all of them is operating, the body is functioning basically because of Krishna is doing that. Directly or indirectly, it doesn't matter. Either Antaryami does that or through his agents like the Pancha Prana and Upaprana and all that in the body, they do that. But who does that? Not us, not our ego. Our ego is not doing that. Everything is done by Krishna. So, so once we know this, that prakriti, material nature, in another way of saying that, is doing that, then we will understand what does kripa means. That's how you understand kripa. Because kripa is difficult to explain otherwise. As I said before, it's something which is very difficult to explain precisely or tell someone this is when kripa will happen. But kripa is already there everywhere. It's already showing its power in all of us, isn't it? Through the body it is showing us all these things. So even now it's because of kripa this is working. The body is working, isn't it? As I said, you're going to sleep in the night. Where's the guarantee you'll open the eyes in the morning? There is no guarantee, isn't it? There is no guarantee that you will open your eyes in the morning. But when you say that to someone, they'll think, oh, what's he saying now? I'm definitely going to get up in the morning. We kept the alarm. You can keep the alarm, but there's no guarantee you'll get up in the morning. Isn't it? So that's another side of it. So even now, when we think that everything's happening because of me, that is false ego. And because of the effect of that false ego, we are not experiencing Krishna's kripa. Mercy, we don't know now. We don't experience Krishna's kripa because of the ego inside. So after suffering a lot, and when this ahankaram or false ego inside struggled a lot, and when we eventually surrender and sacrifice that false ego from inside, that is why when you will experience Krishna's kripa. That is when you experience Krishna's kripa. In order to explain that, Krishna spoke the next verse. See how in Bhagavad Gita, in Bhakti Yogam chapter, has to be understood very well, because otherwise all our bhakti concept at the morning is centered around certain rituals. We think that this is, I've done so many aratis, I've done so many different sadhanas. But no, sadhana is only a very small part of that. Bhakti sadhana is only a small part of that. The science is very big. In whole consciousness, how the change has to happen, that is what is bhakti. And that is what all the great devotees, that is, they have understood that that principle of bhakti. And from Narada Bhakti Sutram and any other, even in this chapter of Bhakti Yogam, Krishna will talk to us only from that level, not purely on the sadhana level. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, after struggling with this false ego a lot, all of us are struggling with our own false ego, is it not? We know that. We can't say that, express it to anybody properly, but we know the problem. Our own false ego is causing the problem. False ego, we are fighting against that. Sometimes we go in here, somebody tells you, oh Prabhu, we should not have any false ego. Yes, yes, yes. We won't have any false ego. It's only for 1 second. After that, it's back again. So, and that thing, after struggling with it a long time, and with various reflections of the Krishna's mercy that is on in us at the moment, in various ways, when we keep on thinking about it, discussing about it, and ultimately accepting it inside, it is only Krishna's kripa that is in this world, not our false ego has no reality in this world. When we have come to that understanding, at that time, the ahankaram, false ego will start breaking up. When that breaks up completely, then we will know what is Krishna's mercy means. Otherwise, we won't know what mercy means. As I said, mercy is something very difficult to explain it, isn't it? Okay, we are thinking, I'll keep my false ego. One day Krishna is going to come and hand it over to me, that mercy. That is not going to happen. Mercy comes when ahankaram goes. Only when the ahankaram goes, kripa comes. Kripa cannot come with ahankaram inside. That is the problem. So, in order that kripa to come, ahankaram has to go from inside. So that ahankaram, removing that ahankaram or false ego from inside, that is to help, that is the bhakti sadhana. Krishna is saying here that after struggling enough with this ahankaram, and ultimately when you give up that ahankaram, ultimately we realize it, this ahankaram is causing me all the problems, I should come out of it. And you have taken that realization has come strongly inside. Naturally, next thing will happen is Krishna is doing everything. You'll come to that firm conclusion. And Krishna is doing everything. You will start experiencing Krishna's mercy at that time. Then you will know easily what does Krishna's mercy means. Now, otherwise, if you talk about Krishna's mercy, people will not understand it. They find it very hard to understand it. That is what Krishna is saying in the next verse. Verse 6. Verse 6. Yetu sarvani karmani maisanyasya malpara ananyenaiva yogena mam dhyayantam upasate yetu sarvani karmani maisanyasya malpara ananyenaiva yogena mam dhyayantam upasate. So this verse, we'll leave the translation for a minute. For one who worships me, giving up all his activities unto me, and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service, and always meditating upon me, that is, of course, the next verse also, has fixed his mind upon me, O son of Pritha, for him I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. That's the two verses together. But look at this first verse. Edu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya malpara ananyeneva yogena mam dhyayantam upasate. If you look at that verse. So, in the verse before, what did Krishna say? Krishna says, klesho adhikatarastesham avyakta sakta chedasam avyaktahi gadar dukham dehavabhiravapyate. He mentions there, those who are in the bodily concept of life, for them, it will be difficult to execute the process of self-realization through the process of knowledge. It will be very difficult for them. So, it is for them, Krishna is saying all these verses. Because in the last verse, Krishna said that, isn't it? Those who are in the bodily concept of life, it will be very difficult for them to absorb in the soul, to analyze the soul, to think about the soul, and to surrender to the Antaryami inside soul. It will be very difficult, Krishna said in the last verse. So, targeting them, this next verse has come. Yedu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya malpara Ananyeneva yogena mam dhyayantam upasade. Krishna is saying. Krishna mentions there that one cannot do atmavijaram. Atmavijaram means analyzing the soul or absorbing in the soul is difficult for somebody. Many times people say this, isn't it? Everybody says that. Atmavijaram is not easy. But there are people who can do that. Atmavijaram, or in other words, it's also called Tattvavijaram, Brahmavijaram. These are all same words, meaning the same thing. Some people will say Brahmavijaram. Brahmavijaram means absorbed in the analysis of the truth, Brahma. Somebody will say Atmavijaram, all the soul. Somebody will say Tattvavijaram, the Tattvam behind it, all these things. So, people are finding it difficult to do that. And people also find it difficult for meditation and all that. They are not getting, the mind is so much chittavritti inside. So meditation also is not possible. And some people will say, I'm feeling sleepy always. Nothing is working, they're saying. As soon as I sit to hear something, I'm falling sleepy. So, what shall I do then? That's the question. So Krishna is saying here, Yedu sarvani karmani. Sarvani karmani. Whatever it may be you are doing, whether the office work or kitchen work or sadhana, meditation or japam, chanting the holy name, people will say this. Always you will notice in the beginning they will say like this, I'm doing so many things but nothing is working. This is always the answer is like that. You know, sadhana is good, but simultaneously with sadhana you need the backup from the shastram. The shastram is not backing up very well, the sadhana will become very dry very quickly. And sadhana will lose the whole spirit behind it and it will become a mechanical process. And it will become later on from mechanical process, it will come to a stage, you will just finish it up somehow. And do it in the 2 hours or whatever and get it down there and throw them back there. So that's no good. That's no good. It should be very well backed up by shastram all the time. Only the shastram is the engine behind it, driving the sadhana well. So that's why people say nothing is working. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm chanting, but nothing is happening. I'm trying to do some deity worship. So many years I've done this deity worship. And they are so busy in life. They're running all over the world with the deity and the flowers and salagrams, everything. They're running all over the world. They're doing it every day. But because it is so disturbed inside, Krishna is saying here, Yedu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya malpara. That is the clue behind it. Mai sanyasya malpara. That is the secret behind it. Because this is a secret which is not understood very easily. Even if you talk about it, it's not understood. That mai sanyasya malpara. Because it's not that you can't talk about it. You can talk about it, but only you will know it when you experience it. That is the secret. That is why it's called the secret. Yedu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya malpara. Krishna is saying. You will notice wherever Krishna has spoken about any sadhana, if ever he has spoken about sadhana, it is always linked to this one condition. It should be surrendered and done. It should be jaramarana mokshayam ashrita yadandiye. Taking Krishna shelter, it should be done. Otherwise, it's not sadhana. Ahankaram doing sadhana and Krishna doing sadhana in a surrendered state to Krishna is different, completely different. So, mai sanyasa malpara. So, that is why you can see the difference. We are chanting the holy name. Great, great devotees, they have also chanted the holy name, isn't it? Like the great saints, they have also chanted. When they chant the holy name, they dance with ecstasy. They chant with ecstasy. When we chant the holy name, we fall asleep. Why does that happen? When we chant the holy name, we fall asleep. So, the holy name is the same. We are chanting the same holy name, what Tukaram has chanted, or Namdev has chanted, Eknath has chanted. Everybody, they have all chanted the same holy name, but when they chant the holy name, they are dancing in ecstasy. When we chant the holy name, we are falling asleep. We're falling asleep. So, some people, when they chant the holy name, the whole world, they leave the whole world. Or the world leaves them, in other words. World leaves them. So, that you can see, like in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's case, he's forgotten everything. while he was chanting the holy name, isn't it? So same thing with Mirabai, you heard about that, how she was also while chanting the holy name, isn't it? They've forgotten everything. And we have forgotten to chant the holy name. That's the difference. They have chanted the holy name and they have forgotten the world, and we have forgotten to chant the holy name itself. That is a difference in the consciousness of the people, of the devotees. So there is something that makes that difference, isn't it? They forget the world, but we remember the world always. We forget Krishna. They forget the world, they remember Krishna. They remember Krishna. So, we will say sometimes, so I was just chanting, and in the middle I have forgotten that, what I had to do. I forgot that. Krishna is saying that in this verse. My sannyasya malpara means that they have no other goal in life. All other goals have left them. Yeah. We have so many goals, isn't it? We have to go to office. We have to do a lot of work there. We have a lot of other responsibilities. That's all our different goals in life, isn't it? All that goals has gone away from them. And that is what has happened. And this is where we are saying this, that we always say this, that simply by hearing, you can get Krishna. Shravanam, isn't it? Shravanam, the one process is sufficient to realize the truth. Simply hearing process is sufficient to realize the truth. Why do we say like that? Because the person who is hearing, if he has no motivation, he or she or whoever is hearing has no motivation inside except Krishna. In this holy name, there is an unusual potency present there. So, little bit of that holy name's potency will work in the, which is in that sound of the holy name. It will be present and it will create a little power inside us. And Shabda Shakteho Achindityad, it's one of the sutram in the Vedantam. Then Shabdam Shaktehe Achindyatvad. The sound, the strength of the sound is inconceivable. Inconceivable. The sound, power of the sound. Only thing what we do not know, how to get that power from the sound. We haven't learned that yet. The sound is such a powerful medium that the holy name can create that inside, if an impact of that. So, Shabda Shakti or power of the sound is Achindyam, and it will work in a very forceful way inside us if we have reached that stage. That means, provided that if we have, when we hearing the holy name and we chant the holy name, if we have no other goals in life except Krishna, and in that very sound of Krishna's holy name, that inconceivable potency is present in there, in that holy name. And it will work a little bit in us at that time when we hear it properly. So, and along with that, things can happen. But what's happening is, we have a lot of conditions in us. We want certain things to happen in a certain way. We are very much particular about things to happen in our own way. So, it's a very strong force in us due to our conditioning. We think that things must happen for me in life in this particular way. If it doesn't happen like that, I get upset. That's where problem starts. All of us, we all have the same problem. That we plan things, and if it doesn't happen, we get upset about it. Why didn't happen in this? Why did this happen in the other way? What has gone wrong? And we have this constant feeling inside that if these are our conditions, what we have put on the holy name. And if we do chant the holy name with conditions inside, and we have different goals all the time inside, then all those conditions and the goals will bar the holy name showing its power to us. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, we make it so simple, thinking that chanting holy names is such a simple process, we say. All you have to do, buy a beads bag for 5 rupees or beads for 10 rupees, 15 rupees, that's all you have to invest. And you start chanting Hare Krishna. We can say that to people, it's very simple to put it like that. But if you see the intricate side of that chanting process, then you can see how much inside we have to change to chant properly. Isn't it? It's not so simple as we make it. That ego will come back and hound us every moment in one way or the other. And if we have so many different goals in life, and if our goal is not Krishna, although we may say to others, so I want to realize the truth, I want to see Krishna, I'm chanting because of that. We may say all that, but if you have no other intentions or goals, and you have no other goal except Krishna, and this holy name has a potency in that which can manifest any time. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in this, Trinaravi Shuni Jaina Taroravi Sahishnuna Amanya, prior to that, if you look at that verse, it is included in that verse. Only thing is, you may not have taken notice of Nam Namakari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti. In the holy name, Sarva Shakti is packaged. He says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying this, Nam Namakari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti. All power is packaged into the holy name. Why it's not happening to us? Because of the problems with our desires and the Tatra arpida niyamida smarane nakala eda drishi tava kriba bhagavan mamabi durdaivami drishamiha janina nuraga. O my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction to living beings, and thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. In these transcendental names, you have invested all your transcendental energies. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. O my Lord, out of kindness you enable us to easily approach you by your holy names, but I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them. Now, Namna Magari Bhuda Nija Sarva Shakti Tatrarpida Nemida Smaranena Kala Eda Drashi Tava Kripa Bhagavan Mamabi Durdevam Idrasha Ihajani Nanuraga. You will see the word kripa there mentioned. Kripa. That Eladrishi Tava Kripa. Krishna's kripa is the one that keeps that happen. That even while chanting the holy name. When we are chanting the holy name with so many desires inside and with so many false understanding inside, so many conditions we have put on while chanting the holy name, and because so many intentions inside, nothing is happening. Krishna is saying here, Mai Sanyasya Malpara. Yedu Sarvani Karmani Mai Sanyasya Malpara. Carry on doing what you have to do in this world. He's not saying don't have to give up anything. But Krishna doesn't want our body or mind or intelligence. What Krishna wants is that ego inside. That is the most difficult thing to hand over. Isn't it? That is the most difficult thing to hand over. So that is what in that verse Krishna is talking about. Yetu sarvani karmani. All activities let it carry go on in this world. As you are living now, carry on living like that. But mai sanyasya malpara. That is the most important. Mai sanyasya malpara. Directly not saying this, but indirectly hinting at that ego. My sanyasya malpara. Malpara means completely surrendered to me. So, body, mind, everything, if you need necessary, you may need to give it to attention in the world while doing things in this world. You may have to give your attention there. But my sanyasya malpara. Krishna is saying, everything, not that I am doing it, Krishna is doing that. That is how one has to see. Or Krishna is doing it, or Krishna is doing it through me, or Krishna is want me to do it. Krishna is engaging me in this way. In other words, except Krishna, there is nothing else in this world. Krishna is doing everything. Krishna is doing it through me, and except Krishna, nothing else is there. How Krishna makes me to think, I am thinking in that way. And how Krishna is doing things in this world, accordingly I am doing that. why all this is spoken in like this is, there are certain situations in life where you just don't know what the solution is. You can end up in situations like that. On the one hand, we may have difficulty with due to attachment. You may quote Shastram and other things, but at the same time, there are other people involved in your life all the time, isn't it? There are many others involved in our life. And when so many people are involved and you want to create a peaceful relationship with everyone and live in this world, everybody likes it that way. But suddenly you will notice some upheavals happening. Somebody is not agreeing with you, what you are saying. And he has a different agenda or different way of thinking. In situations like that, it is very difficult you will try your very best to change the situation. It may not happen because sometimes situations go out of control. There is no question about that. Every family this happens. In everyone's life, it is a reality. One way is to avoid the whole situation, walk out of it without bothering about it. Other situation is the right way to do, Krishna is saying here, my sannyasya malpara, leave that to me, and that is surrender. Surrender means all that. Otherwise, where is the surrender? Everything should be on my terms, and then we want Krishna to do what I want him to do. That is not surrender. Surrender is, we want to accept what Krishna has given to me, and accepting that and living that life. That is surrender. Otherwise, it's not surrender. That is why when we talk, that's what I'm saying. Easy to say chant. Yeah. You can keep on saying this to everybody. When there is no surrender, the chanting also is not effective, isn't it? Chanting is not effective when there is no surrender. So, whatever Krishna is saying here, yedu sarvani karmani, all karma, whatever you have to do in this world, householder have so much engagement with the family members in different ways. Everyone has that. And in that family relationships and all, this issue will come all the time. Disagreements and crisis and all kinds of things will develop. And if you start feeling that all that situation, I have to sort it out, then we are going to be in difficulties because that's the way it is, the world. We have to see the truth behind it. Krishna is saying here, Edu sarvani karmani, in all karmam, my sannyasya malpara. Thinking that Krishna is doing this through that person or this person or through me, all that, if that concept is firmly established inside, that is my sannyasya malpara. That is the way Krishna wants us to do the karma. Not with our ego dictating to us, these are the conditions it should work, this is the way it should happen. And if you bring that in, it will be a very difficult situation. That is why Krishna says here, Krishna is making us to think, Krishna is making us to act in a particular way, and Krishna is behind everything in us as well as others also in the same way. I'm just doing what I've been forced to do. I'm doing that. And this is that word, Narayanayedi Samarpayami, isn't it? You remember that verse? Kayena Vajamana, the last line, Narayanayedi Samarpayami, this is that Samarpana. This is that surrender to Krishna. Initially, a chittavritti comes and we start thinking. Little by little, it comes into our bhavam, in our mood also. Initially, we understand with our thought power. We understand that's what that says. But in due course, it has to get translated into our bhavam. In bhavam also, it should happen. That is why first sadhana and then upasana and then bhavam. That's how it progresses. From the sadhana state, it comes to upasana much more intense, and then it become what is known as bhavam. So bhavam, when due to the power of that bhavam inside, we'll come to that state, what is known as sadbhavam, which is beyond that bhavam state, bhavanatidam. So when the bhava balam, bhavam comes in a person, and it is very strong inside. Krishna is saying here, Sarva Karmani in the Bhagavad Gita, these things are spoken very nicely. If you look into the 18th chapter, you will see a verse there. It is a 56th verse. How Krishna puts it in the Bhagavad Gita. We won't take notice of these things. Why Krishna has given that importance to that? If you look into the 56th verse, 18th chapter, సర్వకర్మాణ్యపి సదా కుర్వానో మద్వ్యపాశ్రయ మల్ప్రసాదాల్ అవాప్నోతి శాశ్వతం పదం అవ్యయం. సర్వకర్మాణ్యపి సదా కుర్వానో మద్వ్యపాశ్రయ మల్ప్రసాదాల్ అవాప్నోతి శాశ్వతం పదం అవ్యయం. దో ఎంగేజ్డ్ ఇన్ ఆల్ కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ యాక్టివిటీస్ మై డివోటీ అండర్ మై ప్రొటెక్షన్ రీచెస్ ది ఎటర్నల్ అండ్ ఇంపెరిషబుల్ అబోడ్ బై మై గ్రేస్. What Krishna is saying here, though engaged in all kinds of activity, you may be engaged in all sorts of activity. Krishna says, doesn't matter, all kinds of activity. But if he is engaged in these activities with this consciousness, mai sanyasya malpara, then Krishna is saying, what will happen to him is, he'll come back to Krishna. What Krishna is saying there, don't do the karmam thinking that, or whatever we are doing in this world, with the understanding that it all happened in the way I want that to happen. That will never happen. We keep on making so many. The earlier we realize this in life, the better. Especially householder's life. We go through this every day. The earlier we realize that it is not going to work according to my plan, Krishna is doing everything. Krishna has brought us together. Krishna will break it also one day. All these relationships will go. So, keeping all this in the perspective, if we act, Krishna is saying here, Yedu sarvani karmani. Karma has to carry on in this world. Because that is a householder's life in this world. Sarvani karmani. But, mai sanyasya malpara. Malpara means completely accepting that I am the person who is behind all the karma. When things are happening in this world, Krishna is doing it. That is why to bring that understanding, it takes a long time to come to the bhavam, that one. In intellectually, you may understand very easily. It's not so big, complex thing. But to come to that bhavam inside, that Krishna is doing everything, we have to analyze it in depth as much as possible. That Krishna is running this body. Krishna is running the mind. Krishna is running the intelligence. Krishna is running the memory. What is Krishna not running in this body? Tell me one thing. What Krishna is not running in this body? And still what do I think? I am doing it. Is it not? So, this is Vedanta Vijaram. Vedanta Vijaram is all these things. This is how you understand that we are not in control. Krishna is in control. And that becomes very strong inside us. We will start seeing this, that we will understand this is all happening due to Krishna's mercy. If it's all working, the body is working whole day, it's able to function properly in this world, able to walk, able to do things. It's all this is happening because of Krishna's presence inside. Krishna has sanctioned it. Antaryami inside has sanctioned it. Mind, intelligence, ego, everything. And therefore, we can see there Krishna's mercy does exist in every one of us. We are enjoying that mercy very much every day, every moment. Since it is like that, Krishna is saying here, in the same way if you think, but when karmam happens, what happens? We lose all this. There I am the one who is doing it. I am the doer, isn't it? Straight away. And when I take over, the false ego takes over, then the whole thing is gone. And that is what Krishna is saying here. Yedu sarvani karmani. Because in the last verse, he said, klesho adhikatara stesham, avyakta asakta chetasam. Very difficult, he said, for those who are in the bodily concept of life to follow that process. But this process or that process, it is still difficult. Only difference is, the other process is more difficult than the personal worship. Who has called the bodily identity, bodily concept of life. So after saying this, Krishna is saying, Yedu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya malpara, and sarva karmani abhi sada karmanaha. All karma, no matter what it is, all of them at all time, mad vipashrayaha. Krishna mentions in that word shashvatam, isn't it? Shashvatam padam avyayam. So, what is interesting here is, in this Bhashyam, Acharya Swamiji says there that Nishiddhani Abhikarmani, he says. Nishiddhani Abhikarmani. Suppose Nishiddhani, Nishiddhani means forbidden karma. Things like which are forbidden karma. Even those karma, if it has this realization inside, Krishna is doing that through me, if it comes like that, because sometimes some karma is nishiddham, isn't it? Nishiddha means forbidden, forbidden things, we do some of them. And that has become a habit, a nature in a person, and he's unable to give it up, unable to give it up. So, just like a person, once it so happened that he went to a sannyasi and told him that he couldn't give up drinking alcohol. He was so got addicted to it, he couldn't give it up. He carried on drinking, but inside he getting the message from the Antaryami, it's wrong, you have to stop it. Inside he is convinced it's the wrong thing he's doing. Outside, habit is telling him, forcing him to drink. So, in a situation like that, he asked the sannyasi, what should I do? Sannyasi understood the situation very much. He told him that at least you inside you are convinced that it is wrong thing. And he was very able to, with that humility, he asked this question, what I should do. So, sannyasi told him, since you have come to this understanding, before you drink, offer it to the deity and then drink, he said. Prabhupada said this also to one person, like that. Before you drink, because he said, I can't do anything about it. What am I supposed to do? He said. So there is ways, so that is why even Nishiddha Karmani, there is possibility to change. That Nishiddha Karmam will go away at some time. Nishiddha Karmani, he says, Nishiddha Karmani, Abhikarmani, Nishiddha Abhikarmani, he says. So, and it is because of that, you may have known, there is a process of worship called Tandriyam. You heard that? We have Vaidigam, we have Tandriyam, and you have a mixture of both. Mixture of Vaidigam and Tandriyam. Yeah? Tandriya Vidhi became popular because of this. Because everyone in this world, if you expect him to take to four regulative principles and stay in Satugunam all the time, it's not possible. So there are millions and millions in this people in this world who are not able to take away the process straightforward easily. Therefore, they brought this Tandriya Vidhi. That is how Tandriya worship has come. In the Bhagavatam, you will see that mentioned in the 28th chapter, Vaidigam, Tandriyam, Mishram. Tandriya worship of Krishna is also, but Tandriyam when it comes to Vishnu Aradhana, worship of Krishna, it is very much in the mode of goodness. And Devi worship is also in the Tandriyam there. Shiva worship in the Tandriya Vidhi is there. There is big, big literature covering all these topics as well for those who are inclined that way. So, now, by saying that, it does not mean that the Tandriya Vidhi is not telling us, suppose you don't drink alcohol. It's not to tell you, oh, you can have a drink now, to encourage you to drink. That is misunderstanding. To encourage you to drink, so that you start your Tandriya Vidhi and start drinking every day. That's not what it means. What it means is those who are finding it difficult to get out of it, for them, how to bring them back to some discipline. And that's how this process has come. This Tandriya Vidhi has come. So, in India, you will see in different places all over the country, various forms of deities are worshipped, isn't it? Like Kamsa used to worship Kalabhairava. You know that. Kamsa's deity was Kalabhairava. And that deity Kamsa worshipped was like in the form of a bow. In the form of a bow. And that was the deity for Kamsa. And he used to worship that bow every day. And when Krishna and Balaram walked in, Krishna says to Balaram, this deity is bent like this, isn't it? He says, the person who is worshipping, his mind is also bent like this. He says, it's not very straightforward mind. Talking about Kamsa. He says, uncle, who is worshipping this deity? It's also bent like this and took the whole thing and smashed it into pieces. And that's how the whole thing started there, isn't it? So, but what I'm saying is that such worship even today exists in many, many, among many people in this world. Not only in India, in even many other continents, you will see there that unusual forms of worship in forests, people who live in the forest. And everybody is not worshipping in Sattvagunam. That we have to recognize. There is more worship in the mode of Rajogunam, worship in the mode of Tamogunam also. But nothing is rejected in the sense that they can also be brought up through a particular process. And that is why those processes exist. So, so just like one group was telling me that they went on a pilgrimage somewhere in Maharashtra one time, and they were in some village, they were worshipping Bhairava form there. And Bhairava was offered this alcohol. And that alcohol was given as prasadam to people who went there to that temple. And this group who had come from somewhere else, they went there. And they saw, they thought prasadam is given, they showed their hands. Nobody knew anything what a prasadam was. Prasadam was alcohol, they all had a nice sip. People have never touched alcohol in their life. They had a nice sip. And they, after sipping, they said, why is it tasting like this? So, because not knowing anything, they went and accepted the prasadam in that way. Just to give an idea that how worship happens in all different modes of nature. So, so all these processes are done to get rid of that vasana from inside through yajnam. So they make it a worship, process of worship. It becomes a yajnam then, isn't it? Becomes a, so that is why Krishna says here, whatever may be the drawback inside, abhijayat sudhiracharo bhajade imam ananya bhag. So Krishna says, so whatever durajaram, durajaram means bad habits are there, whatever it may be, and if you have followed this process by your own effort, you are unable to take it away. You see, something is important. We say the soul is inside, the knowledge is there, the bliss is there, everything is inside, isn't it? Krishna is present inside. By nature, it is eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. Certain things, no matter whatever you do, because of the body and the mind, in the body and the mind, it will create a block, very strong block in realizing that truth. Because of certain habits in the body, certain habits in the mind, chitavritti inside and certain thoughts in the mind and certain bodily characters, bodily nature in us. For example, when the tamogunam is prominent in a body, you feel body very heavy, isn't it? When rajogunam is prominent in the body, you are in a very much in a mode of passion to do various things, running around here, there, everywhere. And Krishna also says, only in sattvagunam, this knowledge can have some effect on a person. It will have some effect on anybody only in the mode of goodness. Only in mode of goodness. Isn't it? Sattval sanjayade jnanam. Jnanam will work in a person in sattvagunam. Krishna says that. And practically you can see, in order to get a human body, what made us qualify to get a human body? Because of rajogunam and tamogunam. Rajogunam and tamogunam of a higher percentage and a small percentage of sattvagunam, we get a human body. That is how it is. If our vasanas inside is a higher percentage of rajogunam and a percentage of tamogunam, accordingly we get a human body. Human body, rajodigaha karmavaraha, says in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Rajodigaha karmavaraha dukheja sukhamanina, he says there. So, That is not in your control now. You got this human body. By very nature itself, this is full of rajogunam and tamogunam. Sattvagunam is only a small percentage in that. Now, sometimes, some personalities appear in this world full of sattvagunam. they are exceptional. You can't follow them. You can't imitate them. That will be, you'll be wasting your time. It's not going to happen. They appear in this world with full of sattvagunam inside. Yeah, that has happened to various other reasons. Various other reasons which we don't know what it is. Previous karmam, previous life activities, and Krishna's kripa has worked with them. Now, when they come here, and even if they may fall into sometimes rajogunam and tamogunam, you will see they will always get out of it very quickly. They won't be trapped in that, unlike us. We are trapped and we are finding struggling to get out of it. But they will sometimes, you will see, this you have to observe carefully, each and every person, you have to see this. Majority of the people don't belong to that category. Majority of the people are human body. Human. They are not human body, strictly speaking. Although they have the body appears like human, inside the consciousness is of a demigod. Much higher elevated consciousness. So that is where this difficulty comes. And what normally happens here is, we see them, say many great devotees, if you see them, that we start thinking that why can't I do the same thing, what they are doing. That's not possible because the sattvagunam in them is so high and rajogunam tamogunam is in us is so high, and therefore it does not match together. It cannot work together. And by imitating them, we won't become like that. That's the main principle. So here, Krishna is saying here, that even if the Abhijayat Sudhiracharya, that comes another chapter, but in the connection here is, even Sudhiracharyam Bhajademan Ananya Bhag, if he is surrendered, Krishna is saying, if he is surrendered, then you have tried all your best to get rid of that bad habits inside, Duracharyam. Duracharyam means bad habits. Bad habits doesn't mean only these four regulative principles. That's only to bring some discipline into the body. That's all it is. Regulative principles develop some discipline in the body. That's what it does. It does some discipline in the body and the mind. But there are so many other durajaram inside, isn't it? For example, anger, lust, greed, envy, pride. Endless it is. That's also durajaram. Duracharam, you have to include all that. If they are manifesting regularly in us, what does that mean? It means I am a Durachari. Is it not? Now, once you have a lot of all those things, he is called Sudurachari. Durachari means who has got all of it. It's an endless that list is, if you want to study that list of Duracharam. There's so many of that. But if it becomes excessive, it's called Sudurachari. Krishna is saying, Abhijayat Sudhuracharam. He has got and so many bad habits in that person. Because if somebody is always envious about everyone else, then that's a very bad thing to happen, isn't it? That's because there is no knowledge inside. There's no knowledge inside. That's where it's coming from. So Abhijayat Sudhuracharam, what Krishna is saying here, you're finding it difficult to get rid of that from inside. Struggled very hard, but it's not happening. So there is why Krishna is saying here, Bhajade Imam Ananya Bhag. If he surrenders to me, he says, if he says to Krishna, I am not able to do anything about it, that weakness in me. And then, and only saying to Krishna that you have to sort it out. Who? Andaryami has to sort it out. You should not be saying to Krishna in the temple, you should be saying to the Andaryami inside. That's more important. If you say to Krishna in the temple, he may or may not listen. But if you say to Krishna inside here, he will listen. That is the principle of Andaryami. Andaryami Adhikaranam in the Bhagavad-gita is so big, that talked about it so much. And other versions also will say, all these things has to work with Andaryami, not with the deity in the temple. We misunderstand, oh, I've gone and told this deity, all my offerings I've done, and all these things, nothing will change. Krishna is not going to, it is Andaryami who does inside all these things. Envy is coming because he is letting that come out from inside. Vasanas inside are there in everyone. But why should it manifest? That Andaryami is in control there. Envy, jealousy, or pride, or amanitvam, adambitvam, all kinds of things, isn't it? In our amanina, manadena, that mana, Amanina manadena. Mana means there's pride inside. So in Andariya, if you want to come out of it, you have tried hard to change it, but you couldn't change it. In such a situation, Krishna is saying, talk to the Andariyami inside. Pray to the Andariyami that I can't do it. If you don't do it, I will not be able to come out of this situation. So Andariyami will listen. So bhakti is all with the Andariyami. In fact, this is of course a process followed by the very intelligent people. Intelligent people. Say, for example, if you have to go and you need to get something done from somebody. And you know very well that you have certain problem with that person inside. Ragam dvesham has developed in the heart in some way, yeah, with that person. Some attachment or aversion has developed inside with that person. And you know very well, if you go there and talk to that person about this particular issue, what you want to discuss with him, you are more or less sure the answer is going to be no. It's not going to work with you. Suppose you are in a situation, very advanced people in spiritual life, what they will do, they will talk to the Andariyami who is in the heart of that person first before he goes to see him. If this person is genuine and very sincere and he has acquired that strength of talking to Andariyami, he will be able to talk to that other person because he talks to the Andariyami of that person who will allow the things to change the way he wanted. Now, you can't do this. Suppose you're going for a job interview and say, or you're asking for an increment in the office from the boss. No, I'll tell the boss, Andariyami in the boss, that look, I need quite a good rise this time, this year. And I'll use Andariyami principle there. It won't work. there are other things. But this Andariyami principle is like this. Suppose sometimes in a very difficult, but the only important thing there is you got to have that kind of faith in that power of the Andariyami. Andariyami Upasana is necessary for that. Those who have practiced this Andariyami Upasana long time, they will know it, that how it works. They'll get to know that one day or the other. And they will be able to use that in their own life. Great sages, great personalities, they are capable of doing that. They can talk through the Andariyami. Andariyami is the one which is linking everybody. Isn't it? Andariyami is inside everyone. And Andariyami the message can be transmitted. It's the media to transmit the message. That person also, whom you are going to talk to, he can change his mind through the power of the Andariyami inside him. So we are discussing this, that bhakti process is all like this, talking to Krishna inside. So, but we don't have to, as I mentioned before also, we don't have to feel any shy about it, talking to Krishna. If you are alone, you can talk to Krishna as much as you like, as much as you want, everything. And devotees should talk to Krishna. Not that I'll do everything on a mechanical level and expect that Krishna will come one day and offer everything. That's not how it will happen. So just like the way, we talked about this before, that the person who talks to the mobile phone, isn't it? He walks around all over talking. Sometimes very funny to watch them, isn't it? They are walking and they are talking. There is nobody there. They are just talking. So in the same way, talking to Andariyami is a... So that is why Krishna says there, in the Bhagavad Gita, there is a verse there. In the 9th chapter, you will see, Gadir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Suhrat Prabhavam Pralaya Sthanam Nidhanam Bijam Avyayam. It's a very interesting verse. Actually, Krishna is present in everything. Gadi, Bharta, Prabhu, Sakshi. Nivasa, Sharanam, Suhrat. Prabhavam, Pralaya, Sthanam. Nidhanam, Bijam, Avyayam. 9th chapter, 18th verse, I think.
Yeah, okay. Ninth chapter, 9, 18. So, if you look into the translation, you will see there. Gadirbharta Prabhu Sakshit Nivasa Sharanam Sukhrat Prabhava Pralayasthanam Nithanam Bijam Avyayam. I am the goal, the sustainer, the master, the witness, the abode, the refuge, and the most dear friend. I am the creation and the annihilation, the basis of everything, the resting place, and the eternal seed. So, Krishna is saying that there is nothing in this world outside Krishna. He is the Gadi, Bharata, controller. Gadi means the goal. And controller, Gadir Bharta, Prabhu, Master, Sakshi, witness of everything. Then, Prabhu Sakshi, Nivasa, Sharanam, Sukhrat. He says, I am the goal, the sustainer, the master, the witness. Nivasa means the abode, the refuge, Sharanam, Sukhrat, the most dear friend. And, Prabhava Pralayasthanam, I am the creation and the annihilation, the basis of everything, the resting place and the eternal seed. How would you understand that verse? It's a very deep verse that is. You will understand when we discuss that chapter, 10th chapter, we'll see. Prabhavam Pralayasthanam. Krishna is saying, all the annihilation and all the creation is happening in me. Isn't it? Is in me. What is that me? Aham. Inside. The soul. Krishna is speaking always when you read Bhagavad Gita. You have to keep this in mind. Krishna is speaking from the platform of the soul. That is where it is happening. That's why it's saying Aham 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 he is saying. Whereas if you start thinking Krishna in the Kurukshetra who spoke that Krishna there to Arjuna Bhagavad Gita. It's all happening in me. It's all happening in me. When he says, we'll start wondering, he has come and gone 5,000 years ago. Where is it happening then? And Krishna is saying, it's happening in me. That Aham Gadir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Sukhar Prabhavam Pralayasthanam. You remember the various kinds of devastation spoken about. Where does it happen? In me. In the soul it's happening. When the soul finally gets totally liberated, that means jiva bhavam, it has gone. Ahankaram has completely gone away. And that ahankaram falls because jiva bhavam has gone. Atma bhavam has happened to that person. That is called the final devastation. When we read devastation, people, when they first time when they read, they'll think, the whole world will be filled with water and there will be a lot of fire coming from the mouth of the Sankarshan and the whole thing will become steam. Is there described in the Bhagavatam like that? That how Sankarshan Agni, the fire from the mouth of Sankarshana will come and it will make the whole creation. So we'll start imagining, that fire will be unbelievable. No fire engine can stop it. It will be such a fire, big fire. That's how we'll think about it, isn't it? So, four kinds of devastation is spoken in the Bhagavatam. The ultimate devastation is when you lose that jiva bhavam inside. Then there is no more individual identity, personality anymore to see this all thing what we are talking about. World doesn't exist. Personality doesn't exist. Where's the world then? So, that's the devastation what they talk about. But that is in a much subtle level. Krishna talks about here. Gadi, Bharta, Prabhu, Sakshi. Nivasa, Sharanam, Sukhrat, Prabhavam, Pralayasthanam, Nidhanam, everything, Bijam, Avyayam. So, that 10th chapter is what is titled as the most confidential knowledge. It is very confidential, we'll talk about that later. Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, when we study that chapter well, you will notice why it's confidential. Because so many misconceptions. We are used to reading everything and taking it on the face value and start thinking that this is it. And then we don't understand what is Krishna talking about. He's saying, you start thinking, but
if you simply see Krishna is speaking from the purely from the platform of the soul, most of that chapter will become a lot easier to understand. So coming back to this, Krishna is saying here, so important thing is Krishna is saying Gadir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi. This verse also Krishna is talking from the platform of the soul. I'll tell you why. Take for example Sakshi. Sakshi means what? Witness, isn't it? He is not a witness of today what we are doing. This Antaryami inside, 10 years ago, on the, today is what date? 28th of April, 10 years ago, at this time, 335 or 337, what we did, he knows now here. He knows. I don't know, but he knows. My Ahankaram doesn't know, but he knows. That is what that Sakshi means. Not only 10 years, in many, many lifetimes before, what we did, he knows what we did. I don't know what we did. You may not know what you did 10 years ago at this time. So that's why all record of everything, what this Ahankaram has done, this Jiva, false ego has done, the record is with him. The Antaryami inside. We should not minimize the importance of that Antaryami. Therefore, nothing to hide. That's what I'm saying. There's nothing to hide. You can talk to him. He knows more about us than ourselves. He knows about it more than ourselves. So that is why in Upanishads, how is it addressed? Sarvajnaha Sarvavid. Everything he knows. There's nothing what he doesn't know. You may think, how does he know what he knows about it? People, the Upanishads are saying that, I don't think it's true. You can say like that. But the fact is that Sarvajnaha Sarvavid, that is how it is mentioned. So this Sarvajnyatva Bijam. Sarvajnyatva Bijam means, in the Sarvajnyatva, you see, misunderstanding I'm saying, how it is in our head, how strong it is. Take for example this birthday. Yeah, because everybody likes their birthday, isn't it? Birthday. People are running all over the world with their birthday business. This birthday is a total illusion. If you see from the Shastra, it's a total illusion that is. Let's understand it this way. Krishna is saying the body is changing, constantly changing the body. And if you see the day this body came out from the womb, when the body came out from the womb, that day we note the time of that body which came out from the womb, date and time, everything. And then throughout life people kept on telling us that that's your birthday, that's your birthday, that's your birthday. People kept chanting this to us. And it became deeply rooted inside me, and I started thinking that's my birthday. But is that my birthday? Can you call that as my birthday? That's the day the body came out of the womb, isn't it? But inside the womb, he had spent 10 months there, or 8 months, whatever time, just 9 months, 10 months, whatever it is. The person had been spending 8 or 9 or 10 months inside the womb. So where is the birthday? When was he actually born? Inside he was born one day, or outside he was born another. So we should have two birthdays. One boy taking birth inside and one taking birth outside. Now, if you take the birth of the body inside again, look at the problem there also. Initially, Krishna is saying, Kavita Maharshi says to Devahuti Devi, that the birth was not in the full form it came first time. There was only one small cell. From that cell came out Shukla Shoni the Samruvam. It says with the semen and the blood, they mix together. And in the form of a very, very minute cell, the life developed. It was at that time the jiva, the soul, entered into it, into that mixture of the Budbudam, they call it in the Bhagavatam, various names given. Doesn't matter. But into that, the life entered on a particular day. I don't know what that day it is. Sometimes people may know it. Can you call that as your birthday? Is that not your birthday, actually? That is also one birth, isn't it? But then what happened? That started growing, and at different stages, different parts of the body has started coming out. Is it not? From that body, from that small thing, different parts of the body, head appeared, and then hands appeared, legs appeared, and then initially it was not eating like a yogi, it was living there, and then it started getting the food from outside. Slowly, slowly it grew up. So one life is already over inside. And then when he came out one day, we said, ah, wonderful. Everything is fantastic. That's your birthday. You should celebrate that birthday. So practically you can see who has taken birth now. Who has taken birth? What is this birthday actually means? That the body came out of the womb. That's it. That's the birthday what we are celebrating now. Isn't it? So point is, birthday is not something which has much of a standing in the Shastram. It's not given any importance to it. Because from the spiritual point of view, you have spent some time inside, already 10 months, roughly, and then you come out, but when you came out, you started celebrating it, as though some miraculous thing had happened here. But miraculous happened long before that, inside the womb itself, when the initial jiva, the atma, has entered into that, to the boy or child's form in that way, whatever that is. You have to read that different stages in the third canto. Everybody read that, isn't it? And you can know what Kapila Maharshi says to the Ahuti Devi about that in the third canto. So what I was saying like that was that the Krishna manages this world and manages our life, our existence in a particular way, We in ignorance and our own misunderstanding, we develop certain things for us to celebrate later. But instead of accepting what Krishna has done. So here, even our birthday, I think Krishna will be laughing at our birthday celebrations, seeing the way we are going after that. So so there's nothing to hear. Sarvavid, sarvavid. So all these things, in the form of a seed, it is present in Krishna, in the Antaryami. Antaryami, all our history, in the form of a seed, is present inside. Only thing is, it's not manifesting. That's all it is. The information, all what has happened in previously to this false ego inside, it has been recorded, and recorded in the sense, it's naturally present in the Antaryami. Antaryami knows about it and knows about it. So that is why all the great devotees, they talk to Antaryami. Antaryami is the source where we have to work on, not with other people. Other people may, according to their vasana, they may react to us. But if any change required in life, in our own life, if we are finding difficulty with any of our own problems, the person who has to talk to is the Antaryami inside. Antaryami inside. So, therefore, Krishna is saying here, Yedu sarvani karmani, maisanyasya malpara, ananyeneva yogena mam dhyayantam upasade. Krishna says here that yadu sarvani karmani, karmam as well as even bad karma also, bad activity or other impurities inside us, like lust, anger, greed and all other kinds of impurities, all of them give it to Krishna. Give it to Krishna. So, not only the good things, even the bad things has to be given to Krishna. And then say to Krishna that this is all me. I am made of all these things. And now you have to do whatever you think is proper with me. In this way, that surrender, Sharanagati must happen in a person. They give him many examples. Just like if you have a good driver who can drive the car well, you can hand over the responsibility to him and sit in the car comfortably. You don't have to worry about the driving. So, similarly, and you can sit perfectly in that sense. Similarly, everything if handed over to Krishna, it becomes easier. So, sometimes small children, when they get into toy cars and toy motorbikes and all that, they feel a great pleasure. They're doing like the adults, isn't it? They also feel that they're doing it. And when you take them in a train or something, they feel the same. Very small children, They act as though they are the driver, they are driving. They act and they get a satisfaction from that. Just by playing that driver's role in the bus, in the plane, in the ship. All of them, they do that. But they know very well that they are not doing it. But they get a pleasure in that bhavam inside. Isn't it? They get that pleasure from that. So bhavam is inside, but they know they are not doing it very well. Similarly, we have to know Krishna is doing it. But in our bhavam also, we may be doing so many things in this world. But when Sharanagati comes to them, comes to anybody, this is the mood that Krishna is doing everything. So, all our faults and all our defects, wherever we have the difficulty, everything to be handed over to Krishna. In other words, after our own endeavor, after our own effort or endeavor, if nothing is happening, it's not possible to come out of it, then the only way left is to talk to the Antaryami and hand over it to him. So, kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madham, malsaryam, all those things. These problems, lust, anger, greed, on their own, they are not the problems. Why? Why they are not the problem? The problem is not any one of them. Actually, the problem is the false ego. False ego is the problem. Because any one of them, like this we will study when we study the 10th chapter. We'll study this later. Krishna talks about that. You see, all these vasanas, what we have, vasana means all the all these thoughts like regarding this lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, all these things, they are not independent. They are not independent. They will come out only if Antaryami lets them out. They are not independent. False ego is independent. You see the problem there. False ego is independent, and only all of all these things, the only problem is the false ego. And what we surrender to Krishna is the false ego, not the envy, greed, lust, anger. That you don't have to surrender, because once the false ego is surrendered, all the other things, Antaryami will keep them under control. They won't come out. That is the principle behind it. It's a very interesting principle, how subtle the whole thing is inside. We think that, oh, everything Krishna is doing. Yes, Krishna is doing everything, but so long as this surrender hasn't happened, hangaram has not gone away from inside, any vasana inside can come out. Antaryami will let it out, because hangaram has not gone away. Hangaram has not gone away. So what we surrender actually is the false ego. False ego is what we surrender. You will see this where? You know where I see this? Mahabali story. Remember? Mahabali, in the Bhagavatam you can read that. Mahabali surrendered to Krishna. First step, three steps he measured and all that. In first step he measured the whole earthly planet. And second step measured the whole heavenly planets as well. And the third step he was looking for the place to put his feet. And at that time, Mahabali has not freed from all his bad qualities. Have you noticed? Mahabali was a very powerful personality. And he was the head of all the demons. Mahabali's associate's name, if you read, Viprachitti, Namula, all this, all person, Kamsa was his close friend. Imagine? But Mahabali is not saying there, anywhere, I'm giving all that to you, to Vamanamurti. What he did there was, he surrendered his false ego. That's what that Vamanamurti put his feet on the Mahabali's head, they say like that, but actually Vamanamurti told Garuda to tie him down. In other words, Mahabali showed his head, bowed himself in front of Vamanamurti and told him, I'm handing over my false ego to you. And that's when he said, Drakshishya Sarvadohantam Sanigam Sabarichadam. An unusual benediction from Vamanamurti to Mahabali. What was that? Nobody else had this blessing from Krishna any time before. To Vamana Mahabali, Krishna says, Vamanamurti says, you will stay in the Sutalam, I will be standing outside like a gatekeeper. Because Krishna wants this, when Krishna sees somebody surrendering his false ego, that's the greatest happiness for Krishna. That's the greatest happiness for Krishna. Nothing else. All your sadhana and all, you can write it off. There's no value in front of this. But because this surrender is such a difficult process, whether through bhakti margam or through jnana margam, keeping this false ego inside, self-realization is not possible. It's not going to happen. That is the principle. So it is such a powerful thing, this ahankaram inside. Krishna is saying here that madam malsaryam, they are all, none of them are independent. None of them are independent. The only independent thing in all this, which does the greatest damage and which makes all, they are all his servants. All these seven. Kamam, krotham, lobham, lust, anger, greed, competing nature, envy, and delusion. All of them, they are all, what ahankaram tells, decides, that will come out. That will come out from there. So, if once sharanagati happens, once you hand over this false ego to Krishna, then all other things will be sorted. That's the way it happens. That's why Krishna is saying here, sarva karmani api mai sanyasya. In other words, all kartrutvam has, kartrutvam is that ahankaram, isn't it? Kartrutvam sanyasya. Sanyasam here, it means tyagam. In this particular instance, where my sarvani, yadu sarvani karmani, my sanyasam alpara, ananyeneva yogena mam dhyayanta upasade. Krishna is saying here, that this tyagam is sanyasam. In Bhagavad Gita, it is like that. Tyagam is sanyasam. Tyagam is sanyasam. And that is the same thing you will see in the Bhagavad Gita, the 18th chapter, what Krishna is. Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi. Brahmayan sarvabhudani yantrarudhani mayaya. Then Krishna is saying, tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharada yal prasadal param shandim sthanam prapsisi shashvadam. So there Krishna is saying that surrender of that false ego, where should you surrender? To the andaryami inside again. That's where the surrender must happen. That's why Krishna gives you a very, very structured way of surrendering there, spoken in that way. That when you want to surrender this false ego, where should I surrender? Surrender to him inside. Yal prasadal param shandim sthanam prapsesi shashvadam. So powerful is this false ego. The whole spiritual life is nothing but getting rid of that from inside. So, tameva. Not surrendering anywhere. I can't say that I've gone and surrendered over my false ego to Radha Gokulananda. It's not going to work. Here, Andaryami has to surrender that. Because he is the one who is monitoring whether I have surrendered or not. Not Gokulananda there. Krishna has got all different positions in this creation. In us present here as Andaryami, Ishvara, he is doing one thing. In so many different titles for Krishna, Pratyagatma, Sutratma, and according to the role, the title is given, isn't it? Swapna Jagara Sushupti, he goes through that, and there is another position for Krishna there. So here, surrender has to happen, not anywhere else, right here. To the Andaryami, you have to surrender. So therefore, our conversation also with the Andaryami inside. With the Andaryami inside. So because, as Andaryami inside, every moment, every second, our thoughts, our movement, and making things to happen, as Krishna mentioned there, Sarva Sakshi also, Gadur Bharta Prabhu Sakshi, Nivasa Sharanam Suhurad. And knowing that, and surrendering to his desire is called Sharanagati. Surrendering to his desire inside is called Sharanagati. Otherwise, we will get confused. You know why? Suppose I say, I'm surrendering to Gokulananda at the temple. But when I go home, I don't see any Gokulananda there. So then I will start thinking that, well, Gokulananda hasn't told me anything, so it's okay what I'm doing. I'll start doing things like that. That is why surrender has to happen to that person who is keeping an eye on everything what we are doing from inside, and who is with us all the time, and who is monitoring the hangaram inside. And that is why Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita very specifically, Tameva sharanam gacha sarva bhavena bharada yal prasadal param shantim sthanam prapsasi shashvatam. That sthanam prapsasi shashvatam, that alone, there alone the surrender must happen. That is the principle. That is the principle. You know, when you don't take this very seriously, what will happen is, for a few years you will see Gokulananda. Then you will say, there is no response from him anyway. I may go somewhere else, in some other temple, and see if somebody else will do. But there again, the experience is going to be the same. It's going to be the same. So, Krishna consciousness, the principle behind it is, this is the way it operates in a person. Bhagavad Gita is explaining that. So, my sannyasa valparam. So, we have a lot of conflicts inside, is it not? In all times, we have a lot of conflicts inside. And it's Antaryami who has to remove the conflicts from inside. Whether we should do this way or that way, all these kind of conflicts come. And to keep that mind in that peaceful state, so that self-realization is possible. So, Atmanubhavam. So, the Ananyenaiva Yogena. There is a word there. You can see. Yedu Sarvani Karmani Mai Sanyasya Malpara Ananyenaiva Yogena. See that word? Ananyenaiva Yogena. This word Ananyam comes there. Ananyenaiva Yogena Mam Dhyayantam Upasate. In other words, at some point, I am not separate from the Antaryami. I am now separate because I have this ego in me. At some point, when the ego has completely gone away, I don't exist anymore. My identity as a ego has gone. Ego has gone. So, Ananya Yogam, that means I am separately, separately I don't exist. Actually, what it means is, it's not that I become Krishna, but on the other hand, separated from Krishna, I don't exist anymore. All the changes that has happened in me, when I have lost all the bad things in me, when that complete purity happened inside, when that complete purity happens inside, I start realizing, it's not that I became Krishna, but only Krishna exists and I am not being separated from him. The separated feeling what I have will go at that time. This is in the case of a jnani. In the case of a devotee, what happens is, he does not want to lose that separated situation. He wants to continue to execute bhakti at that stage, and he goes as a devotee. That is all the difference is. In jnani's case, what happens to him, he doesn't become Krishna. That is not the understanding. Krishna remains. But he realizes that I am not separated from Krishna. My separated individual existence is not there. It's not there anymore. Why? That is why Ananyam says, Ananya Yogena Mam Dhyayantam Upasade. Bhagavad Gita will cover both spectrum. Jnanis cover as well as devotees also. But here in majority of the cases you will see it's covering to the Jnanis position. Because in the Bhagavad Gita, Jnanam is also spoken very strongly in many chapters before. So here, in this particular Bhakti Yogam chapter also, Krishna is saying, Ananyeneva Yogena Mam Dhyayantam Upasade. What is that Ananyatvam? Anyashrayanam Tyagaha Ananyaha. That is the definition of Ananyatvam. Ananyatvam means, Anyashrayanam Tyagaha Ananyaha. In other words, if I have given up taking shelter of everything else in this world, now we have taken shelter of so many things, home, family, money, position, society, so many things. These are all our shelter at the moment. When all the shelter is gone, anyashrayanam tyagaha, I have given up all that shelter and took complete shelter of Krishna, in other words, sharanagati has happened, then what will happen? That is ananyatvam. Ananyatvam comes. Ananyeneva yogena mam dhyayantam upasade. His upasana has become so perfect that he does not remember, and he does not remember anymore as a false ego. He does not remember anymore as a jiva. In other words, only he sees that Krishna alone exists in this creation, and he on his own, that separated jiva hamda or jiva bhavam has gone away from him. And he explains. So you can see in the jnani's position on this is what they'll say is that if I stay separately from Krishna, it creates duality for some people when they are not pure enough. In a devotee's case, whatever they may happen, devotee wants to execute bhakti even after that. So devotee will always think that Krishna is the master, I am the servant. Krishna is the master, I am the servant. So so but majority cases, what happens is that we have a separated existence from Krishna, separated existence from Krishna, and sometimes it comes also like that, even a slight trace of false ego develops inside, will start thinking Krishna is there and I'm here to give him a hand, give him help. That thought, that's the problem. So, but to know that Krishna is doing everything, naham, naham, tvaham, 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 mai sanyasa malpara ananyaneva yogena maam dhyayanta upasade. What is their upasana? Krishna is saying there, maam dhyayanta upasade. That upasana is ananya yogam, ananya yogam. So, whatever activity they are doing, everything is surrender to them all the time. Everything they think, although action is happening through their body all the time, they realize very well, Krishna knows everything. I don't know what is happening. I have no responsibility in this world. Everything is in Krishna's responsibility. Krishna's not my responsibility. And a person has come to that stage that nothing is my responsibility. Everything is Krishna's responsibility. When he has come to that stage, Krishna says, what will happen to him? That is the next verse. We'll read that verse and have a break. Tesha maham samuddhartha.
Tesha maham samuddhartha.
Mrtyu samsara sagara.
Mrtyu samsara sagara.
Bhava minajirat partha. Mayaveshita chetasam. Teshamaham samuddhartha.
Teshamaham samuddhartha.
Mrtyu samsara sagara.
Bhavami
najirat partha.
Mayaveshita chetasam.
Tesham aham samuddhartha. Mrtyu samsaram sagarad bhavami na chirad partha mai aveshita chetasam. Krishna is saying that a person who is mai aveshita chetasam, one who is executing that karmam as he spoke in the last verse, sarvani karmani mai sanyasya malpara ananyeneva yogena maam dhyayantam upasate. Krishna is saying one who is like that, tesham aham samuddhartha, I will take care of him. Mrtyu samsara sagara, from the cycle of birth and death. And bhavamina chiral partha maya aveshita chetasam. For him, he says, bhavamina chiral partha maya avesh. One who is completely absorbed in me in that life, Krishna is saying, it is my responsibility after that. So we'll have a short break now. So, we have saw in this last verse, yedu sarvani karmani, remember, it is that verse has led to this one. Yedu sarvani karmani, that is the sixth verse. Yedu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya malpara ananyeneva yogena maam dhyayantam upasate. You saw that verse, isn't it? This verse 6. So, so Krishna is saying that sarvani karmani mai ishvare sanyasya malpara aham paro yeshamte malpara sanda ananyena eva avidyamanam anyad alambanam vishwarupam devam almanam muktva yasyasya ananyaha ten ananyena eva kevalena yogena samadhina maam dhyayanda chindayanda upasate. Krishna is saying that they have offered sarva karmam all to me, And also they know that ananyeneva yogena, they're completely dependent on Krishna, they executed their karma, in other words. That without the least trace of I am the doer, kartrutvam has gone away from that. That is that what Krishna is saying there. Sarvani karmani mai sanyasya. Mai sanyasya malpara. Malpara means completely surrendered to me. They have executed that. And knowing very well, ananyeneva yogena mam dhyayanta upasade. They are absorbed in me and they have surrendered everything to me and I am the ultimate goal for them. That's how. So you will see the word upasana there. Mam dhyayanta upasate. See that word upasate. And also, if you look future verses before, in the third verse also, Krishna uses the word upasate. You seen that? Yetvaksharam anirdesham avyaktam pari upasate, he says. And again in the second verse, Krishna Bhagavan Vaja, mayavesham anoyemam nityayukta upasate. Why is this word upasate there? Upasate, what is upasana means? Because people always ask this question. What is the difference between sadhana and upasana? There's a big difference between sadhana and upasana. In sadhana, you execute for a short period of time. Say for example, you may get up in the morning and you may perform your sadhana for a couple of hours or an hour, whichever according to different persons. Upasana is not like that. Upasana means it's very intense and it is no breakup. It is 24/7. Is that how they say, isn't it? 24/7. That's upasana. If you remember that, you know that's what upasana means. Upasana means non-stop. Every moment absorbed in service, in Krishna's service, bhakti. So that is what the difference between upasana and sadhana. So here you can see, in Bhakti Yogam chapter, Krishna is talking about upasana, not about sadhana. Sadhana is what we do for an hour or two and then our own life, different. That won't develop bhakti. Bhakti comes from upasana. Upasana is a much more. Upasanam nama yatha shastram upasyasya arthasya vishayikaranena samipyam ubagamya tailadharavat samana pratyaksha pravahena dirghakalam yad asanam tad upasanam prajakshade. Upasanam means that the vastu means the thing what you are directed, your upasana, that means the soul, alma, paramalma, Krishna, Bhagavan, whichever way you want to call that. That's a vastu. That's the vastu. Vastu Satyambaram. Bhagavadam calls it as vastu, isn't it? You know that. Bhagavadam calls it Krishna as vastu at that time. Vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam. That's a Bhagavadam word. Vastu. So that vastu, sitting next to that close and getting very close to that vastu. In this case, andaryami inside. Getting close to that vastu and upasanam nama yatha shastram upasasya arthasya. Shastram, how it has instructed in that particular, under the understanding of the shastram, vishayikaranena samipyam uvagamya. That means he should remain close to this andaryami. Ushayikarana samipyam ubagamya tailadharavad. Tailadharavad means, suppose you have got one pot and that pot has got full of oil in that. You make a small hole at the bottom. What will happen? The oil will start flowing. And when you, if you observe that, you will see there is no break in that. Continuously, it will keep flowing. That is called tailadharavad. So, tailadharavad samana pratyaksha pravahena dirghakalam. That means you can see that continuously happening in without any break, constantly happening. And in that way, if you are absorbed in the upasana of the andaryami like that, that is what is called upasana. In that way, if you are absorbed in the andaryami. Do you know what I'm saying? If you are like this oil is flowing from the pot, taila dharavad. Let's say, like the Thailadhara, it is coming, flowing like that. In the same way, if your chittavritti or mind is completely absorbed in Krishna, uninterruptedly and continuously, then it's called Upasana. That much if you understand, that's enough. But because it's the word Upasana that is used in the Bhagavad Gita more than the word Sadhana. You don't find Sadhana very much anywhere. I don't think anywhere it's mentioned. Sadhana, the word. It's Upasana, it's mentioned everywhere. So, in this Bhakti Yogam chapter also, another interesting thing you will see, there's not even any reference to deity worship. Anywhere mentioned about. The reason is that deity worship is a part of the Bhakti Yogam process. And there are very indirect references you will see a little later that when talking about Bhakti Yogam, at the very end, Krishna says, Mayarpita Manobuddhir Anavesha Jiradaksha. There is nowhere any reference to worship of the deity even mentioned in this chapter. And it is about Bhakti Yogam. Whereas majority of the people are thinking deity worship is Bhakti Yogam. A lot of people have that misunderstanding about Bhakti Yogam, isn't it, as deity worship. But deity worship is not even spoken about Krishna in the Bhakti Yogam chapter. So just to indicate to us that Bhakti Yogam is a big science like Jnana Yogam. Only when you understand the principles of Bhakti Yogam, that's more important than anything else. So here, Krishna says here, that in this 12th chapter, we are looking at Yadu Sarvan Amandhyayanda Upasade. After saying that, now in the 7th chapter, Krishna is saying the 7th words, Tesha Maham Samudharta Mrityu Samsara Sagarad Bhavami Na Chiral Partha Mayaveshida Chetasam. Mrityu Samsara Sagarad means Mrityuktaha Samsaro Mrityu Samsaraha sa eva sagaram. Iva sagaru durutaratvad tasmad mrti samsara sagarad aham tesham samudhartha. So, samsara means what? What is samsara means? We all say samsaram, samsaram. Samsaram has got different meanings. Basically, it means the cycle of birth and death in one way. That is samsaram. Material existence, in other words. That is samsaram. And samsaram has different times spoken in different ways. We have the Guru Ashtagam also, Samsara Dhavan Analitha Loka, isn't it? So samsara means that the cycle of continuously changing, very nature of the body. Tasmat Mrityu Samsara Sagaral. Mrityu Samsara Sagaral. That means constantly changing the body and experiencing this change of body all the time. Aham tesha samudhartha bhavami kim tarhi kshipram evahi partha mai aveshita chedasa mai vishirupi aveshitam samahitam praveshitam chetava yesho te mai aveshita chedasa tesha. So Krishna says here, those who are performing upasana to me, I elevate them from that situation, because samsaram ends up in death. Samsaram ends up in death. You can see that we live a life, material existence, ends in death. Then another material existence begins, ends in death. Another material existence begins, ends in death. So it all ends up in death, and it is difficult to come out of that. Krishna says here, Bhavamina Chiral Partha Maya Aveshita Chadasam. And so here, go back to that verse. Krishna is saying that the Nachiral na bhavat pata mayaveshita chadasam. Nachiral means while we are executing this karma, what Krishna has mentioned before, isn't it? That yadu sarvani karmani. All that karma is executed. Even if you are not performing any separately any upasana or even chanting, japam, or meditation. But Krishna is saying, whatever work you are doing in life, while doing this, if you are able to offer it to Krishna in that surrendered mood, if you are able to perform that, that means na kartratvam, na bhoktratvam, and complete sharanagati, if in that state, if it's all that, Krishna says, that is offering to Krishna. That is offering to Krishna. Offering to Krishna doesn't mean that I do everything what I want, then I say to Krishna, Krishna, I offer everything to you. That's not how it is done. That Kayena Vaja verse you have to understand properly. What it means is that even while executing the karma, the aham ego does not take any control. In other words, there is no kartratvam, there is no bhoktratvam, and also complete sharanagati, complete surrender way. Krishna is doing everything with that full consciousness when it is done. That is what Krishna calls here as the arpanam. Narayana yedi samarpayami, samarpanam. Samarpanam is that, offering everything to Krishna while doing the karmam, while doing the karmam. Not after doing the karmam saying to Krishna, I offer everything to you. That's not samarpanam. Samarpanam is while executing the karmam, there is no kartrutvam in there and there is complete surrender, sharanagati in there. That's why. So Kabir mentions this. He says that I didn't get Rama, but Rama got me, he says. Tutu karta tumaya mujhme rahi na hum. Only Rama exists, he says here. And ultimately, I did not exist anymore within me, he says. Kabir says, I did not exist anymore within me. Only Rama was there. Rama was chanting all the time. Of course, that was the upasana, how he performed, Kabir. So, sometimes we say, it's your duty to do the sadhana, isn't it? One's duty to do the sadhana. And then at that point, we also start thinking that if we keep on thinking it is another work, what we have to do in this world, like everything else, then it becomes a material activity. That sadhana becomes a material activity. So continuous experiencing Krishna, continuous realization of Krishna, knowing very well that none of them is permanent, none of this is in this world is permanent, and one day all of that is going to leave me, and that realization is more important than how the work is done. Just like when you know that sometimes our ego will control us in various ways, and we ourselves have to find the way how to counteract that ego. How to counteract that ego. For example, our attachment to the world in different ways, to money, to family, this, that, and everything. So many things are distributed in many places, isn't it? But Krishna is saying to us, when a situation happens like this, Krishna says, first think about your own material body. That's why we discuss about the body so much. If this body is such a temporary affair, and if it is going to drop any time, it is even capable of taking away all the other things what you thought it's yours. Is it not? For example, material life, we have our expanded empire outside this body is there, isn't it? A big empire, house, car, this, that, and the other. And we find difficult to leave them. But Krishna is telling us, one day, the body is going to go and you don't have to leave them, they will go on its own. So, that is why the more we get focused on this body and our relationship with this body, if we know it properly well, then attachment to other things will naturally leave us. They won't come on our way at any time. Otherwise, if you want to individually give up the attachment to the car, house, and family and all that, it is very, very difficult. It will never go. Easiest thing is to come back to the body again and start thinking, this body is going to go sooner or later. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, don't know how much time it's going to stay. And that time, this body is going to go. There's nothing is going to happen then. And with that, all others also goes. So if that understanding is stronger inside about this body, then you have escaped from all your other attachments in this world. Provided this realization of the body is strong enough, that will give you, that is the easiest way, Krishna says, to come out of attachment to other things. There you won't have any problem. Attachment to house, attachment to family, attachment to money, attachment to gold, all other things, whatever there is attachment is there. It's all finished in 1 second when this body says goodbye and goes. is it not? So it's all in relationship with the body, everything is happening. So what he's saying here is that, so so one day all those things will go, that vasana what we have inside, suppose when we are operating in this world, working in this world, if you are executing that with ahankaram inside, false ego inside, when we leave that work, what will happen? The vasana of that particular work will remain inside, isn't it? Vasana won't go, the work will go. So that is why Krishna is saying, without kartrutvam, and I mean I am the doer, if without that, and if it's offered to me with the way Krishna has spoken, that means my sanyasya malpara, yedu sarvani karmani my sanyasya malpara, which means that bhagavadarpanam, in other words, completely surrender to Krishna, if it is done, whatever may be that work, one day it will leave you. One day it will leave you. One day or the other, it will happen. So, because very nature of the work is like that, is it will leave you one day. Every work is like that in this world. It will leave you in this world. That is the nature of karma. Karma is like that. Karma will not stick. Karma will leave you one day. Because especially if you are executing karma in this way Krishna has spoken, yedu sarvani karmani mai sanyasyam, if it is, then once that karma goes away, Krishna is saying, you will automatically go and establish yourself in your identity as the soul. That is what he is saying there. Yedu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya malpara ananyenaiva yogena mam dhyayantam upasate. If that happens, Krishna is saying, tesha maham samudhartha. That is how that thing happens. That verse we read, teshamaham samuddhartha mrityu samsara sagarat. We may think, we are thinking, oh, one day Krishna will come and tell me, look, now you're okay, you're clear, you're giving me the pass now, you can go. That is the way we will speak in the term of a devotee, you can speak like that. But from the jnani point of view, how it happens, that is what's more important. How it happens is like this. When sarvani karmani is offered to Krishna, my sanyasya malpara, with full surrendered way, without ownership, without doership, if you are executing that karma, and complete surrender to Krishna, what will happen is, edu sarvani karmani my sanyasya malpara, with this understanding, ananyena iva yogena, that means I am not separated from Krishna. Krishna is there, I eventually lose my false ego, and I go back to Krishna. If that way, mam dhyayanta upasade, if that happens, Krishna is saying, tesham aham samuddhartha, I take care of him after that. Mrityu samsara sagarad, he will not come back to this situation of the place of birth again. Take birth again. Bhavamina jiral partha maya veshita chetasam. I offer this guarantee to him that all his karmam will be finished. Karmam has released, he is released from the karmam, and which means that he will be situated in his identity as the soul. Identity as the soul. So this is the this is the difference between the, so when you talk about this devotee, we will say, oh, Krishna will take care of it, all that. But the way it happens is in that way Krishna has spoken here. Just like you can see, many times people, when they retire from long years of service in this world, say 30, 40 years you have worked somewhere in a company or in the industry or somewhere, wherever, it doesn't matter. But they'll find after suddenly you are made redundant or you're out of the job, and then you get up in the first day in the morning after that. It's a very heavy morning it is. Some people, they'll think, that or they're used to every day moving to office, sitting in front of the table and telephone, phoning here, phoning there, or on the in front of the computer. So some people, what they do, because they're feeling that separation so strongly from, it's like a family, it has become like that, isn't it? So many years you have sat in front of the computer every morning. So suddenly one day the company is closed down or business is finished, whatever it has happened. So what they'll do, they'll buy a computer and put it at home and sit in front of that, so that they get some relief from that. to create that environment, somehow to escape from that separation from feeling what has happened. So, that is in us, because they have to sit somewhere, because, and they have to do something. if there is nothing to do, they have to create something to do. So that is our situation. This is how that conditioning happens. Because why is that? Whatever karma we have done so many years, the seed is still there inside. That is what is forcing that to happen. That's what is forcing that to happen. That's why we feel so miserable that day. When we give up the work, when we sit there on the first day, we think that, okay, work is over. But has the work finished? No, it's not finished. It's still there. It is staying inside in the form of that seed. And that morning it tells you that now you go and sit in front of the... because you can't go to office, so what do? You set up another office in the house and sit in front of the computer. It happens to everybody. It's not happens to one person. Anyone who has worked in the industry office and all that, it has happened to everybody, the same thing. So that is why, and that is a good indication that that bijam, the seed that workers created, is still lying inside. Man copes with it in one way, women copes with it in another way. But both have got the same problem, it doesn't go. It's a very difficult situation. So that's why Krishna is saying here that while executing work, if you do it as a sannyasi, in the sannyasi stage, which is what Krishna is saying here, Sarvani karmani mai sanyasya malpara. Krishna calls them as malpara. Malpara means one who has done thing in the surrendered state. Krishna says, they will be teshamaham samudartha. Only them. Not the one who has worked 40, 50 years with the whole idea of I am the doing and I am the enjoyer in that way. Without anything surrendering to Krishna, that Krishna is not included in the list. What Krishna has included in the list is those who have done, no matter what karmam they have done, but when executing the karmam, did they do it with the sannyasa consciousness? Teshamaham samudhartha. So Krishna says, in their case, I take the responsibility. You see that verse? Teshamaham samudhartha mrtyu samsara sagar. So that verse is connected to the verse before. In the previous words, Krishna said, Yedu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya malpara ananyeneva yogena mam dhyayantam upasade. There, Krishna has put the conditions. Krishna says, if you follow that conditions and do the work, next thing what will happen is, I take care of his responsibility. Tashamaham samudhartha. Murti samsara sagarat. Again that, aham, Krishna is speaking from the spiritual position. Aham samudhartha mrtyu samsara. That is the way that whole Bhagavad Gita is going. That it's all based on that aham, the soul. The soul is... That means if you had self-realization as the goal in life, even while working in this world, if the goal was self-realization, and with this understanding that all these activities are happening because it's happening through this body, I am not the doer. If this clarity is inside strongly, and in that way, if the karma was executed, Krishna is saying, Teshamaham Samudhartha. Then Krishna's responsibility to look after that person. So, Mrtya Samsarasa Garad. So, there, Krishna is saying, Smaranam. Smaranam means remembrance, memory. Or, Mayaveshita Chetasam, isn't it? Mayaveshita Chetasam. So, the thing is that, if the memory or remembrance is there, little by little, Krishna will pull you out of that. In other words, it is very nature of the spiritual life, whether you follow the process of Jnana Margam or Bhakti Margam, the process is that if this smarana happens, smarana means that remembrance, smarana means the remembrance, in the... Teshamaham samudhartha murti samsara saga bhavamina chiral partha maya aveshita chetasam. So this aveshita chetasam, the mind which is like that who is continuously absorbed in this, continuously, that even while working in this world, goal is self-realization, one. Secondly, I am the doer doesn't exist. Because you know, for self-realization, that is a precondition, that I'm not the doer. So if I'm not the doer, Kartrutvam is not there in a person. If he is executing any karma in this world, doesn't matter. Krishna is saying that mayaveshita chetasam, if it is done like that, that means that constant remembrance of the goal, which is self-realization, and executing his karma in this world, what will happen to him? That's what it is. The, immediately Krishna says, mayavesh teshamaham samudhartha mrityu samsara sagaral bhavamina chiral partha. That bhavam, I will pull him out from that. Krishna is saying, bhavamina chirat partha mayaveshita chetasam. That from that ocean, suppose somebody is drowning in an ocean, how you pull him out with the hand, isn't it? Hold his hand and get him out from the water. Krishna is saying, even though this person is suffering in this world, in the karma, in the world of karma, and changing his body birth after birth, and absorbing new body and suffering life after life, once he has started working in this world, he has not come out of karma, he is doing still karma. Yadu sarvani karmani. But only thing what has happened is, mai sanyasya malpara. He is malpara, is completely surrendered to Krishna, and he has given up all kartrutvam in there, mai sanyasya, and he is also ananyena iva yogena. Ananyatvam is not there in him. He has become, understood that the goal is realization, self-realization, and he has completely surrendered to Krishna, his ego. In that way, if he is operating, Krishna says, Bhavamina Chiralpartha Mayaveshita Chetasam. I'll pull him out from that cycle, what is going through with him. So, Krishna, so this, what they call it as, in the Sanskrit language, they will say Paramahamsa people, people who are Paramahamsas. Paramahamsas. So they are the people who have received that kripa, mercy from Krishna, mercy from Krishna. And without any effort, it happens to them. Any effort, it happens to them. So once we receive that mercy of Krishna, automatically the world, the karmam, the vyavaharam, everything leaves us. Karmam, the vyavaharam, the world, everything leaves that person. So, so those who have got importance in this, they will get, Krishna says here, Bhavami na jirat partha maya veshata chadasam. In other words, those who have given importance to that, they will come out of it very quickly, Krishna says. Very quickly, he says. Just like they give the example that a devotee, just like a woman is thinking about a man, or a man is thinking about a woman, in the same way, the great devotees have spoken that they heard the holy name of Krishna. Immediately, they remembered Krishna. They remembered Krishna. And as soon as they remembered Krishna, Krishna's form appeared in their heart. Krishna's form appeared in their heart. And with, when that happens, all connection with the world was gone. With the world was over. And they have forgotten about themselves, their own name, and all other external activities, everything came to a stop. So, when they have complete surrender, that is when that happens. So devotee, he hands over everything to Krishna. That is bhakti means. Bhakti, there is not much of much to study about bhakti. This is the difference between bhakti and jnanam. In bhakti, there is nothing much to study. All bhakti requires is surrender, sharanagati. That's all. Even if you have not studied any shastram, sometimes you will find some people who are very surrendered to Krishna. And they have already gone beyond all this. They have reached that stage of surrender. So that's why I say, Teshamaham samuddhartha mrityu samsara sagarad bhavamina chiral partha maya veshita chetasam. When you see the same thing in the language of the jnani, Jnani talks the same thing in the Kathopanishad in another way. How does Jnani see that? Jnani says that Yamai Veshe Vrunde Tena Labhyaha. Look at the way how Nayam Altma Pravachanena Labhyo Namedhaya Nabahuda Ashudena Yamai Veshe Vrunde Tena Labhya Tasesham Atma Virunade Tanim Swam. This verse in the Kathopanishad is nothing but surrender. It says here, Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyaha, that this Atma, the soul or self-realization, is not possible by hearing a pravachanam alone. By hearing something, it's not going to happen. Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyaha. Na medhaya na bahuna shudhena. Not by intelligence it will happen, or by hearing a lot may not happen. Yamai vesha vrunude tena labhyaha. That yamai vesha vrunude tena labhyaha. He says here that the yamai vesha vrunude tena labhyaha. That whoever has surrendered to him, accepted him. That means that what does acceptance means? Acceptance means that I have to accept that I am spirit soul first, isn't it? Amai vesham vrunade tena labhya. For him it is available because it is another form of surrender. In the devotee's language, when you say sharanagati, surrender. Surrender is sharanagati, isn't it? That everything Krishna is doing, everything Krishna is doing. No, I am not doing anything. Krishna is doing everything. And I am not the doer. And also, Krishna is doing everything through me. This is the devotee's way of surrendering to Krishna everything. But here, in the Jnanamargam, it says in the other way, Nayam Atma Prajayana Labhya. The same principle is spoken in a different language. Nayam Atma Prajayana Labhya. Just because you have heard a lot, doesn't mean that it has to happen. But Yamai Vesha Vrunade Tena Labhyaha, only by His mercy, and the Yami inside, when He wants to reveal it to you, you will get it. Otherwise not. Otherwise it's not going to happen. You may do anything in this world. But in other words, what it means is, this Kripa or mercy of Krishna from Andaryami must happen in anybody's spiritual life. It is then that everything blossoms in spiritual life. Everything becomes a success. Otherwise, so that's why Krishna says here, in me whose chetas, bhavami mayi aveshita chetasam, that in their case I am responsible, and Krishna says, I will bring them to me. I'll bring them to me. So there you can see the first step there is smarana, that remembrance, isn't it? Continuous remembrance. Just like we mentioned that when you pour the oil from one pot to another, how it flows continuously without any interruption. The interruption is called vichiti, without any vichiti. Similarly, remembrance has to happen with Krishna. And for that, body is not required. Body is not required. Let the body do whatever work it has to do. That's why Krishna says, my sarvani karmani. Karmam, let it go on. And for that, you don't have to keep a separate time for that. Separate time for that. What will happen is, if you keep a separate time for anything, this is all our mistakes in Bhakti Yoga. I'm pointing out to this. Today what we do, we keep a separate time for practicing Bhakti. Couple of hours in the morning, our Bhakti. After that, is our life. Nothing to do with it. That Bhakti Krishna is not accepting here. Krishna is saying here that if you keep a time for something, it has a beginning and it has an end. Is it not? So, Gopis mentions this. In the Gopiya Gitam, you will see there. So, what for them, whatever they were doing, it's all Bhakti. Dussaha Preshta Viraha Tivrata Abadudha Shubhaha. Bhagavadam says like this about the Gopis. Dussaha Preshta Viraha Tivrata Abadudha Shubha. That gopis were feeling separation from Krishna all the time. Not for an hour or two. In bhakti process, these are all mistakes we come. We think that bhakti is a couple of hours work every day. Morning, 16 rounds and that's finished. My bhakti is over. No. If we make it, bring bhakti to that level, then it will never move further. That's why bhakti has to become a total affair, a total activity, 24 hours it has to happen in all our life, all the time. Then Krishna calls it as bhakti. Otherwise it's not bhakti. Otherwise if you do it for a couple of hours every day, chanted my 16 rounds, that's it. Or I've done some deity worship, that's it. Remaining time I'm doing, it's my life, I have to do it, what I have to do, then it's not bhakti. That's karmam then. It only becomes bhakti when the whole activity in the day and night becomes continuously surrendering to Krishna and constantly with the goal of self-realization or Krishna, whichever way it is, and eventually taking out this kartrutvam from inside all the time. If we execute our life in that way, that's bhakti. This is the definition of bhakti. Not the other way. What we are thinking is, if I go for a morning program in the temple, or if I chant my 16 rounds a day, or if I do some deity worship at the home, that I am executing bhakti. But this Bhakti Yogam chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna is talking about, that yedu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya malpara ananyeneva yogena mam dhyayendam upasade. Krishna is saying, tesham aham samuddhartha. I take away that person from mrityu samsara sagarat. He doesn't have to come back to this cycle of birth and death again. Why? Bhavami na chiral partha mai aveshita chetasam. Because he is absorbed in me completely all the time. Only then that will happen. Only then it will happen. Otherwise it won't happen. So you can see the problem that most of us, we are stuck in this world with one karma or the other, with one prarabdham or the other, and in middle of that we are trying to do something to when the misery becomes unbearable in the material life, then finding a way to exit from here. But if it can only happen when our realizations are correct in the way Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, it has to happen that way. Only then it becomes bhakti. Otherwise it's not bhakti. It's not. People have misunderstood and they define it in different way. They are saying that I am chanting my 16 rounds, I am following the four regulative principles, so I am a bhakta. That's how we see it today, isn't it? Or I am initiated, or I got my shikha, or I got my kantimala, or whatever paraphernalia, whatever we are carrying with us. So in that way, how people start going in that direction, is it not? Many people are accepted, we are all bhaktas, we are all devotees. No, we are not. Actually, we become bhakta when these conditions are fulfilled. Tesham aham samuddhartha. Krishna is saying here, yedu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya malpara ananyenaiva yogena mam dhyayanda upasade tesham aham samuddhartha mrityu samsara sagarat bhavamina chiral partha maya veshita chetasam. These are the requirements in bhakti. And the requirements of bhakti. So, and there are the devotees like gopis, what they have done, dusaha prashta viraha tivrata buddhashubha, that they could not for a moment, they could not forget Krishna. That is how they are absorbed in Krishna. So, for example, that smarana, that continuity in that remembrance of Krishna, without any interruption, that is called nirandaram. Nirandaram, nairandaryam. Nairandaryam means that without any break, if that memory comes, remembrance comes here, it becomes easier. It becomes easier. So, when this transcendental meditation was very famous one time, isn't it? You know, Mahesh Yogi's transcendental meditation, yeah, TM. So when that was people were confused about it. What is this transcendental meditation and all that? But because sometimes when they do certain things, the when you bring spirituality into the world, it can always get a little bit polluted with various. People do make a lot of adjustments in spiritual life, so. Transcendental meditation is also one like that, in the sense that when they brought this transcendental meditation, many of the people who follow transcendental meditation when it was very popular at that time, that there were people who were working in offices, working in companies, businesses and all that, many of them who followed Mahesh Yogi at that time. And they had this concept that we'll do 1 or 2 hours meditation and that'll give them enough concentration and strength to do their work in the office. So there is no bhakti there. They were using a concept which is part of this, that stopping chittavritti for an hour or two through the process of meditation. And then doing their karma in the normal way, what they have done in the past. On the other hand, with transcendental meditation behind, they became realized that they have the power of the yoga also to support them in their career, professional career. So how you can see how the shastram can be brought into the material life and the whole thing can be polluted. Everything gets polluted. So once somebody asked about this, when transcendental meditation was famous one time, one day one person asked one sannyasi about this. He says, what does this transcendental meditation mean? He said. So sannyasi said, I don't know what this transcendental means, he said. But I know what dental means, he said. When I get toothache, I know all my concentration is on the tooth, which is aching, he said. That's all I know, he said. But I don't know what this transcendental, because transcendental meditation was at one time very popular. It comes and goes, so many things like this comes and goes in this world. So similarly, but self-realization hasn't happened. I haven't met one yet, heard about one who has self-realized through the process of transcendental meditation. So, but here, when one comes to that, that understanding, Krishna is saying that I have suffered in this samsaram, cycle of birth and death, so many lifetimes, and I did not experience anything about Krishna in my life. And it becomes a pain inside, and it starts burning inside. And at that time, Krishna is saying that your mind will turn towards Krishna, and when it starts becoming a regular feature inside, without continuous thing inside, that's that feeling, that separation from Krishna. So when till that happens there, Krishna says here, what will happen is, when that starts burning inside, that means the desire for self-realization and escaping freedom from this body, freedom from this mind, intelligence, ego, freedom from this material existence itself, when that becomes very intense inside, that knowledge will burn inside, and eventually the whole karma also gets burned in that process. It's mentioned in the Bhagavatam also, it comes here. What it says is that in one verse, it is a summary of that. In the Bhagavatam also, what it mentions is that Ajarya Khyadra Nistarani Samanimila Chishya Rubotarani Vedhol Bhasidena Sputadara Paribodagnina Dehyamani Karmali Vasanadal Kadadanubhuana Brandi Kandara Puri Dahya Bhavena Vidya Shikhinija Virade Tunmayi Kalyavastam. No, Vidya Shikhinija Virade Tunmayi Kalyavastam. That means that Acharya Khyatharasthal, the spiritual master is there and the disciple is there. Disciple is there and the spiritual master is there. The disciple is hearing about the truth from the spiritual master, about the truth. Anu Ani Samanimila Shishiru Uttararani. So remember this, that when they create fire in the sacrifices, they have this arani. Arani, by churning the arani, they create the fire. So there is Purvarani and Uttararani. So two pieces of wood, and they grind each other, rub each other. From there the spark develops, and from there the fire is created in that way. They are not allowed to light the fire, like the way with the matchbox and cigarette lighters and all that. That's not allowed. So that's the only way they will create fire in the or sacrifices. Similarly, Acharya and the Shishya. Acharya Arani, Acharya Khyadharani Sthal. Arani Samanamila Shishya Uttararani. So, Acharya is there and Purvarani, and disciple is there Uttararani. And what happens? Uttararanya Vedhol Bhasi Tena. Between Acharya and the Shishya, there is transmission happening. There is questions and there is answers from the Acharya and the Shishya. Now, although we talked about this questions, no answers, here there is question, there is answer, but both of them qualified for that. Disciple is qualified, Acharya is also qualified. Acharya is realized soul. Disciple has acquired all the qualities of asking the right question. That's also, see, this is where the problem is. Normally people think, I'll come and fire away some 10-20 questions. And if I get an answer, all right, I accept you as my guru. If you don't give me my answer, you are useless. You just go. This is mundane way of approaching spiritual life. But that's not spiritual life. In spiritual life, first thing, qualified teacher, the acharya, realized soul. The disciple has got all the qualities he has developed to be the perfect disciple, what is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. It's a number of things mentioned there in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? In the 10th chapter, the 11th canto, you can see, Amanya Malsaro Daksho Nirmamo Dradasau Hrida. There's a lot of things there. Amani, Amalsaro, Daksho, Daksha, Nirmama, Dradasau Hrida. So, there is a more there, mentions. So, all that a person has cultivated and he has acquired all the qualities of the perfect disciple. If he asks the question and this realized soul answers that, it will work. Otherwise, it will be simply a waste of time. Nothing is going to happen. Nothing is going to happen. Because that disciple who is asking that question, he has already come out of the platform of the mind. He's not in the mental platform anymore. He has understood that what is spiritual life means and what is hearing, shravanam means, mananam means, nididhyasanam means. So, nyavedhodbhasidenam sputataram paribodhagmina dahyamane. What will happen is when this interaction happens between Acharya and the Shishya in that way, there will be fire, it says. There will be fire. And what will happen? Karmali vasanatal. That in that fire, all his karma vasana will get burned. Because jnanam is a very powerful thing. When jnanam comes, it's a very powerful, like a fire it is. Krishna compares that to a fire. In that fire, all our vasana, karmali karma vasana, karmali vyasanakru, tad kadatanu bhuvana bhranti kandhara bhure. It starts burning one after the other in that. And then, dahya bhavena vidya, shikhinicha virade tunmayi khalu avastha. That once that is burned, just like the firewood in the kitchen, or when you burn something with the firewood burns and eventually the wood itself turns into ashes and that also goes away, disappears in the same way, isn't it? So that's what Krishna is saying here, that due to this continuous nairandaryam, or in other words, this continuous process of what will happen, dhyabhinya virajite tunmayi khalu avastha. So, that is, Krishna says, is the easiest to process. It is the easiest to process, Krishna says. So, people will say, oh, that's also very difficult, isn't it? That's all. Nitya yuktasi yoginam. So, most of the people will find that, oh, how can you do like that without, then spiritual life is not possible. That's all the answer is. The simple answer is like that. We can't be what we are today and to realize the truth. We can't be like that. It's not possible. Somewhere it has to change. There is no question at all. That but process is, jnana margam is there, bhakti margam is there. And Krishna is explaining this, even in the, now people say, oh, bhakti margam, very simple, it's very easy. 16 rounds you have to chant, 4 regulative principles you have to follow, take initiation, everything done. You are linked to the system and you go back home, back to Godhead. How can it happen? All these things, otherwise the whole Shastram is bogus then, isn't it? If it was so simple like that. This is how everything gets twisted. Prabhupada never said like that. But it becomes, in course of time, people start interpreting it, watered down, and eventually they say, 4 rakes, 16 rounds, that's it. Finished. Spiritual life is over. 4 rakes and 16 rounds. How the 16 rounds were done, never thought about it. And apart from 4 rakes, anything else involved? No worry about it. added to that one initiation also. Finish. So if we make it oversimplified like that, then we may find disturbing when you read Bhagavad Gita. It will be a little bit disturbing. Because you start thinking that this is all spiritual life is all about, then it becomes a little difficult to bring it down to that level. Very subtle level, Krishna is telling us that bhakti, what is bhakti first of all? That itself is to be clarified. Bhakti is, Krishna is saying, that yedu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya malpara ananyeneva yogena mam dhyayanda upasate tesha maham samudhartha mrityu samsara sagarat bhavamina chiral partha maya aveshita chetasam. Therefore, Krishna has put that important point there. So, so to come to that stage, to develop that smarana, memory like this, continuously all the time, even though body is doing various things in this world, that is bhakti. Even while body is engaged in all sorts of activities in this world, still bhakti has to be executed, and the conditions for which Krishna has spoken in this chapter. We'll discuss it next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.